party people, it's the Starship Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantisov for another week of broadcast insolence.
The team's back together. I know you missed us, kids.
We missed you guys.
Yeah.
That was a big
deal. Hi, guys.
Hi. Did you behave while we were gone?
No.
Of course.
Not.
Didn't expect to.
Don't listen to Kevin.
Parents were out of town, threw a little party.
I noticed.
I bet.
It is interesting because they moved us into now what's going to be the primary Skyline studio. For Chicago.
And it is stunning.
It's the WGN Allstate Skyline Studio. Mm-hmm. And that is a, this is, you know, we moved over to this building a couple weeks ago, but now this is like, this is our home where
this
we're going to be broadcasting.
We now have our permanent home.
And they didn't even let me go in the other studio when
they
I got here. And I think that Kevin and Violetta broke something.
Oh.
No.
Did you sit on something in there you shouldn't have sat on?
No. No, everything's fine in
there.
I'm no rat.
As far as I know, everything's fine.
I noticed a keg there. I just thought that was weird. Maybe it was a new piece of furniture or something.
You're supposed to get rid of that.
Yeah, snitches get stitches. Kevin has that actually tattooed on his forehead, which does get
face
you pulled over.
Face tattoos are in.
Yeah, they're very in. And yeah. That one especially is very popular with law enforcement.
I'm having him fitted for some cement shoes as we speak.
Yeah. I didn't say nothing. I didn't say nothing.
What are you talking about?
Yeah. But also, we need to return that because there's a $50 deposit.
That's right.
I need that back. And a tap to go with it.
But if you put it on Rose credit card, what would it
Which
matter?
They, I did notice a number of card
some,
not
some
present.
Transactions?
Yeah. transactions while I was out of town.
Well, thanks for the fun party.
Yeah.
Funded by Rose credit card.
I did something I've always wanted to do. I went all the way around Lake Michigan. I have never done that before.
I haven't either. What a cool trip.
And I started in Wisconsin,
mm-hmm.
and it was basically, because I'm an outdoors guy.
You pitch a tent, I'm sure, a couple of minutes.
I stopped at all the finest golf resorts along the way. And we worked our way up through Wisconsin, then across the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and then down through the state of Michigan. And it was, the Upper Peninsula is, I know people always talk about it,
mm-hmm.
but the people who talk about it scare me because they're always up there killing an elk or something
or
like that.
Or they're talking about fudge. And you're
right.
Like, well, I like fudge, but it's not a reason to go up there.
Apparently,
or pasties.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Pasties.
Do you have a couple of those?
In Escanaba, Michigan.
Mm. What's a pasty?
I found the finest pasties that in Escanaba. And mm-hmm. they were closing, and I went in this little shack. Is it a pasty shack?
Did you knock furiously on the door to make sure you got it?
They're all shacks and all delicious.
I have one definition of a pasty, but I don't think it's the same as what you're talking about.
No. Totally separate.
So what is it?
It is a...
A meat-filled pie?
Yeah, that's the best way to describe it.
They call them pasties in England. It's the same thing.
It is a pasty. They call them pasties in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, because say pasties and see how long that lasts. What? No, so it's not gonna. It ain't pretty. But they're really good. Apparently, they were brought over by the miners that came over to Europe, from Wales and other places, Scotland, and they came over.
Well, not the actual pasties, just the ingredient or the recipe.
The recipe, right? No, because that would be long.
Sure.
Although
they might have come to
the point of that is that because they're in a pie, so it's like meat.
Mm-hmm.
And like it's like beef stew in a pie filling.
Aren't they like
a pie?
Empanadas?
Isn't that right? It's the same sort
Spanish
of idea.
Or Mexican empanadas.
So the miners would take these things to work, and then they would eat them during the day while they were mining.
They're so good. If you get the right crust on it, so good. Just like a pie, if the crust is right, it's just so right.
I need a pasty
Sounds
now.
Great.
Yeah.
Don't say that too loud. Now I can't get the Violetta one out of my mind.
I mean,
what are we talking
tasty.
About?
Doesn't sound very delicious.
It is delicious.
Yeah, it is.
It's a meat filled pie.
Yeah. It's a
Kevin,
pie. Imagine
Kevin would love them.
Imagine a cherry pie.
Are they circles?
They kind of are. They're sort of half moons. You imagine a cherry pie, except it's got beef stew in it. I mean, that's basically what
it's
it
beautiful.
Is.
Beautiful.
Yeah, like a cherry popover, except it's beef stew.
They don't do the sweet ones, though, do they? It's all the meats.
No,
and
you
the...
can do sweet, too. They get sweet. Yeah, they got
all
the
flavors, whatever
I don't know.
You want.
Did you do anything other than eat in the whole drive you did?
I was driving, I was eating, and I was playing golf.
That's about
what
a perfect
trip. What more would
trip.
You want? Did you
there
stop
might
a
have
minute?
Been a little bit of
did,
drinking.
Did you stop a Manitowoc?
Okay, yes. For dinner.
Did you go to the elbow room?
No, didn't go to the elbow room. I went because I'm afraid of that because that's where, what's his name, used to hang out.
Supper club. Something I'd be afraid of.
I went to another supper club up there called Rupp's. It was in the town next to Manitowoc.
Sheboygan?
No, it's a little town. Mm. Like a just a tiny little town. Cleveland. Cleveland, Wisconsin.
How are we saying it? Pasty? Is that what we're saying?
It's a pasty.
No, the people, our texters are telling us we're saying
it's
it wrong.
It's a pasty?
They say it's a pasty.
It's a pasty. All right. Well, I said pasties.
When I'll I got have a there, couple so, pasties.
Yeah, I need two pasties. They're always coming through.
Couple pasties to go. That's a good road trip snack.
Yeah. Oh, it's great.
Tuck them away.
It's great. I bought a cooler. I had a cooler in the back of the Traverse.
That's
I had
awesome.
The whole thing going.
Got to keep a cooler in the trunk during the summer.
Yeah. Oh, it's the best. And I was self-sufficient. I could have slept in my car. I chose not to.
That's mm-hmm. not really camping, but yeah.
That's like you could fit a king-size bed in that sucker, so yeah. You live in large.
Exactly.
Seriously.
All right. Ben Bradley's going to join us just here in a few minutes. Don't move. And also, coming up a little bit later on in the program, your chance to win a family four-pack of passes to the 11th Annual Blackhawks Convention at the Hilton Chicago. That is the 27th through the 29th of this month. Get your convention passes and hotel guest rooms today. Book online at chicagoblackhawks.com. Ben standing by right now. Violetta standing by with traffic.
100 events, 19 days, one epic food festival. Visit ctfoodbowl.com for the ultimate Chicago food experience this August.
It's a Rokon show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. Ben Bradley is in the WGN TV newsroom.
Ben.
Good to you. Good to be with you guys.
Good to talk to you.
Good afternoon. Nice to be with you guys.
Benjamin, let me ask you a few questions here, if you don't mind.
Am I under oath?
You are currently under oath.
Okay.
Consider yourself under oath.
I am sworn, or will swear, or have
no,
been sworn.
At the FBI, actually, they don't even tell you you're under oath. It's just an assumed thing.
Yeah, I would say yeah. So.
As you start talking, anything can and will be used against you.
Like, if you lie to them, it's a federal crime. So if you walk in, you go, God, you look great. No, I don't. You're going
that's
to jail.
That's kind of how I envision Rod Blagojevich's initial interview going. Boy, you look great. Do you have any kids who need health insurance? How about a mother or grandmother who needs a free bus ride? You know, I gave her that.
Yeah.
Probably not far from the truth.
On my travels over the last week, I ran into a number of people from not Illinois.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Not FIBs, as they're known throughout
Wisconsin.
Throughout all of the... In Michigan, too.
Michigan, too.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
We're known as that. How terrible is that?
And Indiana. Hmm. So the question is, what's going on? One of the questions I was asked consistently was about Rob Blagojevich, whether or not I thought he was going to get out, or when he gets out, or whatever. And I kind of try to disconnect, because I think that would help my emotional state.
I think it would be good for you to unplug.
Mm-hmm. And they, and so...
Imagine that, a disconnected Rokon.
I asked him, were you checking your phone the whole time? He's like, no, not really.
No.
Kind of.
Yeah. Do you unplug one wire and replace it with another, or all the wires
I tried to... But anyway, so the point was that this person asked me, Blagojevich getting out, what do you think? I'm like, what have you heard? You know, I thought maybe they had done it while I was unplugged.
Uh-huh.
And there it was kind of a, oh, man, it would be great. Imagine, what kind of a cushy city job is he going to get if he gets out? And I'm like, I don't think, A, he's going to get out.
And you don't think so?
No, I don't. Because he would have done it. You know,
the president moved on to other things, but it doesn't mean that he won't circle back to it. He's got some time.
But remember, he was on a pardoning jihad there for a moment.
It looked like we were going to go, and then nothing.
And then it was like, okay, what do I do now? It's like a kid. I would imagine this was his Christmas growing up in the Trump household, was 1,000 presents arrive, and he opens them, and he plays with the boxes, and he moves on to the next one.
With a giant, lollipop, multicolored lollipop, and one of those little beanies on his head.
And his short pants. Trust me, they made him wear short pants. They wanted to be fancy because they were from Queens.
Yeah.
And they thought the Manhattan people were too fancy. They tried to be like them.
Yeah.
All right. So I don't think that's going to happen. I know that Blago is a personal friend of yours, Ben, and
aside from the politics of it, aside from the emotions of it, all I know is this newsroom has about 15 pieces on the shelf waiting to be played. If Blagojevich is commuted, so just for all the work everyone's put into it.
You're kind of hoping for that, just for that.
Well, we'll see that major push, because you saw Patty Blagojevich appearing on Fox News regularly, and knowing that that's the way to pipeline to the president, and it seemed that things were moving in that direction, but there is still
and
time.
And then Kim Jong-un happened.
Right, and Supreme Court nominees and things like that.
Yeah.
Right, and then Kim Jong-un turned the other way. Mm-hmm. I saw that over the weekend. All of a sudden,
you saw a lot for someone who wasn't paying attention.
This is me not paying attention.
Yeah.
And they acted like a gangster. What? They make a threat like a gangster. And I'm like, uh-oh. That's not going to be good.
Is that your Kim Jong-un?
That's my Kim Jong-un.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
What do you think?
I think I'm somewhat offended. That was mildly offensive, I think.
Nah! I blow you up with an anti-aircraft gun. You're telling me he doesn't? If he spoke English, he wouldn't sound like that? Is
that's
what you're trying to tell me?
From Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Yes, I'm with Violetta.
Which was an inappropriate cultural stereotype.
That's right.
At the time.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No, it's feels just because like he has the dentures.
The point I'm trying to make is that Kim Jong-un went the other way on the Trump administration over the week.
Yeah.
Then the president tweeted back saying, I hope he'll honor our contract. And also,
contract?
Even more importantly, our handshake.
That's for those 50 waterfront condos. Don't you remember?
What is? He goes, a contract? First of all, they won't let us see what they've agreed to, which means they haven't agreed to anything. Because trust me, he shows us when he signs a menu, he shows it to, right? He turns around and shows us everything. Yeah. They haven't done anything. But that's a separate issue.
Yeah.
We'll see. You know what? We're on Supreme Court Watch. It's going to happen tonight. We'll carry that live, of course.
Certainly will.
Here tonight on WGN. What are your plans for tonight at 8 o'clock when he does this?
Well, I'll be watching. And then tonight at 9 o'clock, we actually have a really interesting WGN Investigates report that goes back through the decades. So there was a wonderful photographer who was the team photographer for the Cubs, the White Sox, did a little bit for the Bears, by the name of George Brace. And as you can imagine, he accumulated more than a million negatives from photos that he had taken over the years. After he died, his family was contacted by a sports memorabilia enthusiast and told that this enthusiast wanted to buy the archive. And they had turned down previous offers because they wanted George Brace's photos to stay together as a collection. This guy promised to do just that. They gave him all the negatives. And it was the beginning of the end of a long con run by a guy named John Rogers out of Arkansas, who not only conned this family, but also became a prolific scammer in the world of sports memorabilia, autographed balls and bats and uniforms with names like Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig. The FBI takes us inside their investigation for the first time since this case was resolved. You'll hear from the case agent who works out of Chicago, who talked about what he found when he went in to John Rogers' property. A little hint, it included a spiral notebook.
So he never paid these people for their negatives.
He paid a portion of the contract, but again, the negatives, the archive was supposed to stay all together, and he started selling it off almost immediately. And so now the George Brace archive, which included, you know, these were pictures that included, you know, the guys planting the ivy on the Wrigley Field wall for the first time.
Wow.
Every famous baseball player who came through Chicago. It's all, you know,
I just
off
saw
the
promo
in the corners.
For this. There's a great shot of Ben who's got one of those jeweler's loops, you know, like a monocle kind of thing. and he's looking at a piece of it. He's bringing it up like a piece of it, like you're at a pawn shop, and then it's like one of those pawn shows. And then Ben puts it down and goes, "Hey, this is crap. Yeah. I can't buy this."
Well, thankfully the FBI brought in a real bona fide authenticator, and he was the one who helped determine what was real and what wasn't. And interestingly, in John Rogers, among the items the FBI seized was a whole stack of certificates of authenticity with the authenticator's name on it, who the FBI later brought in to say what was real and what wasn't. And the authenticator's like, he even forged my signature on the certificate of authenticity. Yeah.
Wow, there's a lot of scamming in that business, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So fascinating story that really touches on a lot of sports history in Chicago, as well as a lot of family history. So we've got that for you tonight at 9 o'clock.
All right. Thank you very much, man. Appreciate it.
We'll be watching.
All right. We got Judy Pilak with the WGN News right now, being brought to you by Builder Supply Outlet. Who will be the judge of the People's Court?
That's the Judge Wapner stuff, right? That's what we're hearing, the music?
Yes.
Okay.
That is...
I'm separating from Judge Judy in my mind and so many others.
Every time I hear that, I want to complain.
I know.
You know, so-and-so
ripped
me
off. Every
time
you hear anything, you want to complain.
Roe was mean to me.
All right. Royal Oaks is joining us right now, who is our legal analyst. ABC News is legal analyst. That makes him our legal analyst.
Mm-hmm.
And, Royal... I have a theory on this. You ready?
Okay, lay it on me.
All right. I think it's going to be this. My money is on the Indiana judge, Amy Coney Barrett. Is that, mm-hmm. Do I have that right?
Coney Barrett. Coney
right,
Barrett.
Amy Coney Barrett, right.
Amy Coney Barrett. I think she is the one that is going to be picked tonight, because I think that the president wants to go. He's teasing us with Brett Kavanaugh. They're telling everybody it's Brett Kavanaugh.
Right. He seems to be the insider.
And then he's going to pull that out and have the woman, because he wants to be seen as she's super conservative. She will play very well with the pro-life constituency in America, and it helps him by saying, hey, you know, look at me, I'm all about, I'm an equal opportunity offender,
promoting women, you mean, like,
yeah, well, I'm all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts?
Plus, you know, there's another reason to pick her, and that's Democrat Senator Joe Donnelly is in for a tough fight in November, and he may feel pressure to approve Amy Coney Barrett, and all that the president needs is one or two Democrat votes to really put him over the top. But the other thing in her favor is she's only been on the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals for about 8 months, so she's got a very thin paper trail that the Democrats could attack. But as you suggest, it's almost as if Donald Trump picks her, he's spoiling for a fight. He wants to sort of lure the Democrats into this arena of fighting over religion, over her Roman Catholic faith. And interestingly, California Senator Dianne Feinstein, when she was quizzing Judge Barrett when she was trying to get on the Seventh Circuit, she said, you know, the dogma lives loudly within you, referring to her religious faith. And that's actually shown up on T-shirts. A lot of people are defending Judge Barrett, saying, you know, people like Senator Feinstein are going after you because of your religion.
So it does seem the confirmation process would be most perhaps difficult with her, or at least certainly tense with her. But she responded to Senator Feinstein at that time. You know, I take my Catholic faith seriously, but my personal religious beliefs don't conflict with my duties as a jurist. And she's also since pushed back on whether she doesn't believe Roe v. Wade would be overturned. And, you know, that would be the biggest concern and the rallying point for Democrats, that this is somebody who would be seated, and maybe short while from now that actually could be, potentially, there could be some legal challenges to Roe v. Wade.
You're absolutely right, and the point you made about a very contentious hearing is actually the strongest argument against Amy Coney Barrett, because some people reportedly are advising the president that you want this to be done quickly and without a lot of contention. You don't want to have a second try that happens after the midterms, and the risk with Amy Coney Barrett is that it does become all about Roe versus Wade, and she did write an article in 2003 that suggested Roe may have been an erroneous decision, but at her confirmation hearing, she said she would follow Supreme Court precedent on abortion, but she refused to answer if she personally was opposed to abortion.
Mm. All right. Well, I think that plays exactly into the "you're not the boss of me, you can't tell me what to do. I'm the president of the United States, and you're not." I think it's exactly. I think Royal, you just kind of hit it. All right, let's talk about Brett Kavanaugh, because he's the one everyone is talking about. What are the positives and negatives of him?
Well, he's a 53-year-old judge on the D.C. Circuit. He was a clerk for Justice Anthony Kennedy, very strong on gun rights. He did dissent from a ruling that allowed an undocumented teen in custody get an abortion. He has noted that in the past the government has a permissible interest in favoring fetal life, so that's bound to come up. The problem with Judge Kavanaugh is that some really conservative Federalist Society types are apparently whispering into Trump's ear that this guy could be another David Souter, that Kavanaugh was part of the George W. Bush Department of Justice. And, of course, there's no love lost between President Trump and the Bush family. He's also got a little baggage. He was one of the deputies to Kenneth Starr looking into the Bill Clinton scandal a couple of decades ago. So it could be a very long, thorny confirmation hearing if Brett Kavanaugh is put up.
In that, didn't he make the argument that during the Clinton, the Monica Lewinsky moment, didn't he make the argument that the president couldn't be forced to stand trial?
That's right. And that could be a huge factor in his favor in the mind of Donald Trump, because he believes, Judge Kavanaugh does, that presidents are immune from lawsuits while they're in office. They are immune from charges being filed. Basically, they are excused from the burdens of ordinary citizenship. And you can just imagine that would be music to the president's ears, given all of the controversy that's been swirling for months about the Russia collusion issue and the Robert Mueller investigation.
He's my bet for the pick, after you said that. Yeah. Thomas Hardiman, though, this is interesting. The blue-collar appeal, the stories about his life experience, humble roots, drove a cab to put himself through law school, but a strict constitutionalist. Talk about what his chances are. Is he an outside chance at this moment?
Yeah, he is. I'd say he'd be a dark horse, but he's still in there. You know, he was the runner-up to Neil Gorsuch last year, so he almost made it in. He's 52. He's on the Third Circuit. He's been there for about a decade. And he knows the president's sister, because she's been a federal judge for a long time. But as you say, he's got this backstory that's great, a hardscrabble career. He was the first in his family ever to go to college. He's had a lot of very conservative opinions. One opinion he wrote said prisons may strip search all inmates, even for minor crimes. He's strong on guns. He dissented from a ruling that said, well, to get a concealed weapon permit, you have to show a need to carry the gun. He didn't believe that was necessary. So he's a pretty conservative guy, so I don't think you can count him out.
Mm. So no matter how this breaks out, it's going to be a fight, right? I mean, because you already saw Chuck Schumer today saying that he was, that no matter what they do here, that's, you know, it's time to stand up, step up to this. Is there, in terms of the politics, they do need to get some Democrats to come over here, right? Because you're missing at least one Republican.
Yeah, probably so. What you've got in terms of the math is this. It's 51 Republicans, but one of them is John McCain, and his health may not permit him to vote. That puts you down to 50. That means you can't lose a single Republican, and you've got two female Republican senators, Collins and Murkowski, from Maine and Alaska, saying, no way we're going to vote for a nominee who might do anything to Roe versus Wade. You've got four or five red state Democrats running for re-election in states where Trump won big, like West Virginia, and so they might be tempted to come over and vote for the nominee. But the bottom line is there's just no margin for error, and so that's why the safest pick is probably the best in Trump's mind, the one that's going to be least contentious and least likely to blow up with a hearing that goes sideways.
Would you say that all of these nominees, the finalists, are more conservative than the retiring Justice Kennedy?
Oh, absolutely. Justice Kennedy wound up being basically a moderate swing vote. Yes, he opposed Obamacare, but he also was a very strong voice for gay rights, for the same-sex marriage. He wrote that opinion. He was in favor of affirmative action. Yes, he was conservative in that he supported the Citizens United decision, but bottom line is that he was a moderate on many issues, and all four of these candidates, I think, would have to be to the right of him on the ideological spectrum.
Mm, and he has to go see the Queen after this is all done. So the president makes his speech tonight, jumps on Air Force One, wheels up, goes over, insults the Queen, undoubtedly. There will be some awkward moment there.
There's gotta be.
Then he goes to NATO, and then there will be another awkward moment there. And then he goes into a private room with Vladimir Putin and doesn't allow Americans in with him. That to me is still astounding.
It is.
He's got a big agenda facing him, and this is quite a way to kick it off. He obviously has a flair for the theatrical and the dramatic. It looked like a TV show when he came out and gave his speech at the Republican convention in 2016, and he knows the whole world will be watching in prime time when he makes the dramatic announcement tonight.
Yep. Mm-hmm. All right, Royal Oaks, thank you very much, my friend. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Royal.
You bet.
There he goes, Royal Oaks. Let's talk now to Judy about what's coming up at the top of the hour.
No, those weren't fireworks streaking across the Midwest sky.
Oh, no.
It already happened, Rose. You don't have to be concerned.
Well, can it come back?
Maybe. And probably.
Feel it.
Dean Richards, he'll check in tomorrow on the Steve Cochran Show, 8:10 in the morning. He'll have an update on celebrity engagements and surgeries. Wonder if he'll talk about the Beeb and the Haley Baldwin engagement.
Now, which Baldwin is she? She's not Alec.
She's the Haley Baldwin. Nope, not Alec. The surprise proposal between Justin Bieber and Haley Baldwin.
I don't know who Haley Baldwin
is. This the one who got yelled at by Alec Baldwin?
No, that was Ireland.
Okay.
But I remember that because she was a country.
Yes, that's right. And I don't know if these two have a nickname yet.
They have start doing that, applying countries to these celebrities. Maybe I could keep track of
that. Does make it
better.
That does make it a little easier, I have found.
Yeah.
Now, this is Stephen Baldwin's daughter.
Yes.
And Stephen Baldwin, that's the crazy Baldwin, right? That's the one that's always...
He was the one that was on
The
Apprentice.
That's a big competition. For the craziest Baldwin?
Which one was in Backdraft?
He was the one that was like a Flintstone. Wasn't he a Flintstone?
Oh, yeah, I think he was.
Well, there was one that took a real hard right turn. He's like the conservative version of Alec.
Isn't he the one married to Chyna Phillips?
I don't think
No, that's Billy
married.
Baldwin.
Billy.
Billy Baldwin is like the normal Baldwin. He's the real deal. He's like, of all the Baldwins, if you got invited to you get invited to the Baldwin compound, and you had to spend a night in one of the cottages with one of the Baldwins.
Yeah, you pick him.
You'd pick Billy and Chyna. Is who you'd go with.
Steven's the one who is in the Flintstones, Biodome, and The Usual Suspects.
Oh yeah,
right.
He's the
but he
crazy
went
eyes.
Super. He went like super political. Remember and he's like and I'm sure he's like a complete like he, I think he was trying to run for vice president at one point, but so he's like whereas Alec Baldwin is like a communist, this guy's like a fascist. It's like the same thing. They're like that, and I think he's just doing it because he saw his brother get all kinds of traction by being political. He thought, well, I got to go the other way. I got to do something. He's like, so you don't want to go to you don't want to spend the night in Alec's cabin because there's going to be fighting.
No.
He's going to be yelling at his family.
Unless his wife's there, then I would recommend going.
Yeah, but he's getting. I don't think that's I give them them 2 years tops right now. I'll take the over under on that. Then there's a lost Baldwin in there too, isn't there? There's
another Baldwin?
There's Daniel.
Oh, why do we forget about him? He's an actor too.
Yeah.
Or no?
Yeah. And there's Adam Baldwin who's not related to any of them. So that's
and James Baldwin, the former pitcher for the White Sox, made the All-Star game in 2000.
Also not related. Mm-hmm. So that's important to know.
Okay, but the important question here is how does Selena Gomez feel about all this? The on and off, on again, off again, Bieber, Selena.
You know what Beyonce said? You should have put a ring on it. Maybe Selena should have put a ring on it. She let him walk.
Did.
Burn, Selena.
I don't think Selena.
You don't think she cares?
I don't think. I think Selena is going to be just fine.
Care?
I think the only thing that gets me, if you want to talk about celebrity hookups that I do not understand under any circumstance whatsoever.
What's that?
Is that Pete Davidson, Ariana Grande thing.
No.
That one still troubles me.
It makes sense.
That guy outkicked his coverage by about 4,000 yards. It's like, what happened here?
I've never seen it. It's like when the one team has a 1,000-to-1 in the draft and they get the number one pick.
wait a minute. How
did that
happen?
Less than 1% shot and he landed it. Shoot or shoot, guys.
He's messed up enough that she wants to fix him, you know?
Like he's a project to her.
Why does Ariana Grande want to fix somebody?
Right.
Well, because then... I don't know.
Because then she owns him.
Those girls are crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
They have the same manager, I heard, Ariana Grande and Justin Bieber. They're both getting...
Maybe it's a bit like a stunt.
Yeah, you wonder.
Because we're talking about it, right? Everyone's like, what
happened
here?
Well, but Pete Davidson, he's got something going on. And the rumor is that, you know, because she's even said it, that there's something going on, you know, down there, if you know what I mean.
Oh,
because
no, I don't.
That is...
Explain it to the kids, Ro.
Because she, you know, he was dating Larry David's daughter. Cassie David,
I know,
who is a beautiful girl.
So cool.
Yeah, and really cool on the socials and all that.
Mm-hmm. So, I couldn't believe that was Larry David's daughter because he kept being in all her posts. And I'm like, well, I wonder what her connection is with Larry David. Mm. And I'm like, oh, that's her dad.
Oh, look at her last name.
I didn't look at her handle.
Yeah.
I just looked her up, you know?
Yeah, so she, and Larry David is, you know, it's a different sort of play there. So anyway, I don't know what Pete Davidson's up to. He claims he's crazy on Saturday Night Live. He's the least talented of all the major cast members on Saturday Night Live. And yet he's landing all the quality stuff here. All right, that gets me out of this. Steve Cochran's show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users, just say play WGN radio on TuneIn. News brought to you by AppleChevy.com. I'm Judy Pilak. Here he is, the man of the hour. You just heard him right there.
Tom Skilling.
By the man of the hour?
You are.
Boy, we must have a pretty desperate hour here.
Well,
I don't know.
Let me just say this, that you're the man of the hour because you're brought to us by PermaSeal Basement Systems.
Well, that's true.
Yes.
See, if you're sponsored, you are the man of the hour.
Hell
yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's right.
That's how this goes in this town.
I know. Exactly. I love the folks at PermaSeal. That's great. They do. boy, have we put them to work this year, huh?
Mm-hmm.
So I did, you know, my love for the Lake of Michigan.
Yeah, welcome back. I think that sounds really neat that you drove around the lake.
He was doing some research for that big tarp you guys are going to put out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He had to go the full perimeter.
Well, we have to get the measurements in.
I did.
Yeah.
I did. Good. I got the measurements in.
That's good.
And I found, I'll tell you what I found, which was amazing. I went up to the very top of Lake Michigan.
Yes, yes.
The tippity-tippity top.
Isn't that cool?
Yes. On the it's at the southern point of the Upper Peninsula.
Yes, yes.
I'm trying to get my bearings straight here.
It's very beautiful country.
South of Escanaba.
Yes, so actually north and east of Escanaba.
Yes.
Sort of halfway between Escanaba, which is the beginning.
Sure.
And kind of near the beginning, and then Mackinac.
Exactly.
St. Ignace, as they call it up there.
Yes.
I call it St. Ignace. Uh-huh. And right. they were like, what did you just say?
Do they talk like that up there?
I said, is there a gas station in St. Ignace?
And they were like, did you buy fudge, by the way, when you were up there? Because they make great fudge up there.
We do make the good fudge, and it's called Ignace. Anyway, so up there, it's like a rocky coastline.
It is.
It's not dunes like you get in sand.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's rocky, and because the water, unless something's gone really wrong,
mm-hmm.
The water is not like, you know, it's because it's an prevailing east to west winds across that lake.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a straight south, it's kind of knocking into it, but that's not very common, right? Mm-hmm. So it doesn't create a sand up there. It creates mm-hmm. this rocky kind of, and it's a good point. So calm. And I took this picture looking down the lake.
Yeah.
Like at Chicago, mm-hmm. I figured out on my app, I figured out exactly where Chicago was in the coordinates.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like as far as the eye can see. It makes, you know, it looks like an ocean when you look at it from
it
here.
Does. Yeah.
But from there, it is like, it's such a beautiful blue up there.
Mm.
It is, that is a special place people should see.
It really is. And isn't it stunning when you drive the length of the lake like that and you realize, my God, this is the same body of water that we have outside our windows here. Right.
When does it stop? I know. Well, that's what I was thinking, too.
Yeah.
So I thought, now, if I put the tarp over the lake down here, how will it affect these people up here?
Well, that's a very valid concern, you know? And this is one of the variables that we're kind of playing with.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, you know, human intervention in these sorts of natural systems is a rather dicey thing sometimes, you know?
Can be.
Yeah.
Weren't you just there, Tom, for a series of reports you filed this winter?
Yeah. We went up just a tad further north. We were up by Sault Ste. Marie.
Oh, yeah.
And the St. Mary's River that joins Lake Superior and Lakes Huron and Michigan. Yeah. And, you know, the whole Great Lakes, 20% of the world's fresh water resides in the Great Lakes. Mm-hmm. I think it's like 40 trillion gallons of water. And that's a pretty remarkable thing. And what a resource, you know?
Absolutely.
I mean, think of the cities that would give their eye teeth to be in our shoes, you know, mm-hmm. with the kind of the incredible lake system that we have out here.
The water almost seems drinkable up there.
It does.
I know it's not.
I know.
But you look at it, it's so
clear.
Clear.
Yeah.
And it's shockingly clear.
And
I know that part of this was because of the infestation of the zebra mussels into the lake.
Right.
Cleared it even more. But when you look down, I mean, you could see, you know, like you could be in 10 feet of water and you could see pretty much to the bottom of it.
Almost like the Caribbean or something.
Yeah.
The rocks may have something to do with that, too.
And you know, the lake is, Lake Michigan is up to 965 feet deep just east of Manitowoc out there in the middle of the lake.
So, Judy's favorite place in America, Manitowoc.
Yeah. That was, a lot of submarines and ships built in mm-hmm. Manitowoc.
Right.
The shipyards up there.
How are lake levels, Tom?
Lake levels are up about 1 inch this year. Not nearly as much as they have been. And that would be surprising when you mm-hmm. consider all the rain we've had. Mm-hmm. But I was looking, the weekly Corps of Engineers lake level readout shows Lake Michigan's and Michigan and Huron, which they view as the same lake because they're connected, is up only 1 inch over a year ago at this time. So that it had been up as much as 5 or 6 inches.
Right. There were some concerns with the shoreline being protected in some areas along Michigan, Indiana.
And there's been pretty substantial erosion around parts of the south end of the lake because of the higher lake levels. It's incredible. It went from record levels in the mid-80s, and it crashed, and, you know, up to, what, 4 or 5 years ago, we were down there as low as it gets, and now it's back up again. But if you look at the history of the lake levels, and we've got data on that going back to 1900, there's like a sine wave to the plot of the lake levels. It goes up and down, and there's a regularity to it. It's not perfectly regular, but it there's clearly some kind of cycle that goes on there.
Right. Mm-hmm. We're not aware of it yet because we've only been keeping the records for 100 years.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So it is beautiful. It is a great natural resource. And whether you go up through, and we are so blessed to have.
We are.
To have Wisconsin to our north, because that is a beautiful state. It's an amazing state.
It's gorgeous.
And Michigan is, first of all, Michigan is the size of like Montana. I mean, it is gigantic.
Mammoth. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Much to explore, too.
And you know, it's interesting. You've got the Door Peninsula on this side, up in northeast Wisconsin. Then you go across to Traverse City and Petoskey and that whole area.
Gorgeous.
Up there, Charlevoix. It's beautiful. And they have these dunes up there that are, you know, 200 feet high or more right on the lake.
You don't want to fall down those.
No.
Someone might have. I wouldn't want to be the guy falling. I climbed a tree.
You did.
I did.
Was this a sober experiment?
Oh yeah. Well, okay.
During this trip, you climbed a tree.
Let's. Uh-huh. Now, when you say sober, what do you mean?
Well, you know what I mean.
So the I went to the Lake Michigan shoreline, mm-hmm. and I wanted to watch the sunset.
Yeah.
Ah.
And there was no place to stop. Because it was all private residences there.
I see.
And then I was wondering, now, who the hell owns these things? Because mm-hmm. this is like you are in heaven up there on these things.
Yep.
Now, it's far enough away from civilization that maybe it's not a gazillion dollars. But if it were, you know, if it were within 5 hours of civilization, it would be worth millions.
It would be a gazillion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And of course, there's a winter up there, which is, mm-hmm. you know, a little more foreboding.
Right.
But it filters
out some of the non-hardy types.
Yes. And I had no idea. There's an island out there mm-hmm. off Charlevoix.
Oh,
there's an island.
That's pretty.
There's a gigantic island in Lake Michigan, 30 miles off Charlevoix.
Yeah.
Are there people living on this island?
No. 500 people live on the island. Beaver Island.
Yeah, Beaver Island.
Sure.
Yeah.
I've heard of that.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. By the way, you know, I heard a couple of hearts stop when you said you climbed a tree. Todd Manley,
okay, right, so.
Todd Manley, your boss, was saying he did what?
Yeah.
Almost lost our afternoon drive guy if he fell out of the tree.
Don't worry, they got a key man clause on me. They got the whole thing worked out.
So it was a better view of the sunset?
Yeah, because I wanted to get this shot of the sunset because it was like in the forest.
How beautiful!
So I went, you know, climbed up the, you know, like, you know, it was a dense tree.
How far up did you go?
Like, I don't know, 4 feet, 5 feet, enough to break myself.
Did you have to call the fire department to get back down?
Well, that was the funny thing. So I get up this thing, and I'm like taking a picture, and I'm getting the, you know, sort of the, you know, the sunset through mm-hmm. some other trees.
Uh-huh.
And it's I got it, and then all of a sudden, and then I look back there and go, how am I going to get off this thing?
I know, that's my problem.
It was like as tall as I am. I got that hard, high.
But you
up
know
the
what?
Tree.
One thing, Ro, that's about as high as anybody our age should go.
Oh,
you know?
Should never.
You're
I'm looking down. And I got the bad ankle. You know, I got the bad wheel.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking down there, and I'm thinking to myself,
what did I do?
Now, you can't jump.
Right. No. Well, first of all, it's nothing but like rocky.
No.
You know, the veins. What do you call that? The, you know, the things of the tree at the bottom. What do you
right.
call
it? The roots.
The roots. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Love
technical
that
term.
So the roots.
You know, there's like the roots
and stuff. And then there's, you know, there's like, you know, like old mushy leaves down there from mm-hmm. seasons past. I'm
sure.
Like, I don't know what's under there. Maybe a snake. I don't know. So I didn't know how to get back down.
Yeah.
So I hugged the tree.
Oh.
And I kind of did the thing where I'm hugging it and kind of wrapping my legs
You're
around
like
it. And
down.
Yeah. And I'm just kind of, but that's bark. You know, that wasn't so good.
Oh, no.
Uh-huh.
So I eventually did make it down.
So we saw the video of the sunset. Do we get the video of you climbing down the tree?
No. Luckily, no one took that video, I don't think. So, but I did get down.
Well, you know what? I hope you're going to submit that as one of my weather pictures.
Oh,
I'm going to send it to you right now.
I'd love to see that.
Yeah.
I mean,
Jupiter, too.
I still have that waterfall you shot down in South America. You know,
that's what I do, Tom. I travel the world just
you
for you.
You really are. Well, that's really nice. You know, I did that one time, too, and I told people that I drove around the lake, and they looked at me like, you're crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, no, I wanted to see the geography of the lake. And it is, you're right. you get up there and you think, for gosh sake, this is the north end of the same body of water we're on, 400, 300 miles south.
Yeah.
It's a pretty remarkable thing. And you're right about the clarity of the water up there.
There it is right there.
I can tell. You just sent it to Tom. Yeah. I heard the ping.
Yeah.
So you should get it. You got it on your end over there?
Make sure your volume's on so we can hear you get it.
Okay. I haven't gotten it yet, but I'm going to keep my eye on it. You know, our email system routes things through, I figure, probably South Korea, Australia, and probably South America before it gets here.
Well, maybe I texted space. It to you in case you want to make it a screensaver, you know, something like that. No big deal. Tom, got a screensaver.
Wait a minute. Here it is. Okay.
You see it?
No, I just got... Oh!
Yeah? Worth it? Is it going to make the top of your weathercast
tonight? Oh, that's
tonight?
Very nice. Wow.
Oh, I didn't like that.
Was the sun coming down or going up?
It's coming down.
Ah.
Yeah. It's over the water, Tom.
Wait, I want to see it. I never got this picture.
Oh, that's gorgeous.
Let's wait for me to get it on my phone.
Can you just post on WGNRadio.com and so we can get everybody covered on this?
Beautiful hues of orange and all. Boy, I think you've got a second career here as a photographer, you know?
Was this out of the tree?
Regular Ansel Adams.
This is from...
I know. Ansel Adams. That's right. Ansel Adams Khan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, hold on a second. Who do I got to send this to?
Yeah, and who do I submit it?
I need this photo. I need to check it out.
Who do I send it to get it up on the WGN radio thing? All right.
Boy, Dave Marzullo.
Jeff is saying, just send it to me.
It's gorgeous.
What an idiot.
So you were south of Escanaba when you shot this?
No, this was in...
This is Michigan.
This is Michigan. This is near Harbor Springs.
Gotcha. Michigan. Oh.
Wherever that is.
Well, boy, you look higher than 4 feet here. It looks like you're on the top of a...
Don't I know it, Tom. That's why I had to get up there to get the shot.
God, it looks like you're up 150 feet or something.
You never knew who wrote an understated story.
No.
He was way up in this tree, apparently.
I can see the Charlevoix Fire Department there with the step, the hook and ladders up there trying to get him down.
Okay, who is the idiot up the tree?
Right.
Oh, it's one of those FIBs, is that what we're called?
Yes, FIBs.
Right. You're high enough, you could be petting owls up there or saying, it's a lovely shot.
Thank you very much.
And you do think, even over the last week, how many of us have enjoyed the sunsets, the sand, the water, the water sports, the just beauty of Lake Michigan
and
the enjoyment it's brought.
So quiet up there. I mean, it's just beautiful. And the smell of the air, you know, with all that vegetation, the trees, the pine, the birch. It's a pretty place up there.
It is.
See?
Yeah. We all want to go there.
I know.
I want to take a trip myself, Ro. You got us going.
I know. It is definitely worth the... it's worth the drive anywhere in Michigan, I think. Because Michigan is just one of those surprise... things wherever you turn, there's something going. Wisconsin too. I went up to Boulder Junction to see our old friend Jim Johnson, my old newsman.
Yeah, that's right. Jim's up there. Yeah,
and you know, get on his lake for a day, and it's the supper club's up there. It's absolutely beautiful. But you got to be ready. The two things: you got to be ready for the drive, and you got to be ready for everybody thinking you're a jerk because you're. Because it's like you're from the city
and faster talking than the people up there and faster moving and a little more impatient. I think we all are.
Not enough bug spray in the world for me to get around
not at all
this.
Did you do any fishing and hunting when you were up there?
I did fishing. I did. Wow. I went trout fishing.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Did you have a Door County fish boil when you were up there?
No, I did.
Those are my favorite.
I missed that on one of the nights because I was traveling and I got around because there's a fish fry or fish boil everywhere up there
on Fridays regularly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
just,
you know,
got your picture. How did you? Is that tree holding you? Like it looks like you're like on a limb.
It does.
What are you trying to say?
I can't get over
like
the height.
The branches are very...
Bro, this is very millennial of you. The things millennials go out of their way to do to get a good Instagram picture.
I know.
Wow. Like put their life at risk by climbing a tree.
Very impressive.
I didn't even put it on Instagram.
You got to do this for the gram, bro.
You missed an opportunity. I might Instagram this on mine.
Via Ro.
I'm just stealing.
I still say, don't show the boss this. He's going to think, what in the heaven's name did he have in his mind? He's going to kill himself.
A bottle of white wine is what I had in my mind.
It's all it takes sometimes.
Yeah.
It's all it takes.
Yeah. Well, it's beautiful.
That's what it did, but it worked
out. A gorgeous shot.
Thank you. Tom, I expect that tonight on the 9 o'clock news.
Yeah. We've got to get this on. I know.
No big deal.
we've given it enough play already, don't you think?
We'll do it.
Yeah, no, I don't think
no,
so.
No,
I don't think this is Rokan climbing a tree. Yeah. Why don't you tell the whole story, Tom? Take the 40 minutes that you get to do the weather. Take 20, 25 minutes of it and just explain how he might have had a little too much wine. He might have climbed a tree in Western Michigan.
Right.
And he might have slipped off, but he did get the shot. And
now, I'm not kidding you. This is the second neatest shot. And it's between this and the shot of a scorpion I was sent from somebody who was down in Costa Rica. The guy said I didn't have my contacts in, but I was in the shower and I heard this like scratching on the tile below, and he put his contacts in and here's a scorpion down there.
Oh my God.
And he said, that was it. He said, you can imagine my wife and I didn't sleep very well after that.
Yeah. I can only imagine.
Oh. That's going to be one of Micah's friends. You know, I find these people send these pictures of bugs up close.
Uh-huh.
And I kid Micah and I say, you know, this is a Micah's friend. We're going to get you one of these so you can put it in the office with you.
Yeah. I'm not good with anything that has a heartbeat. I mean, it's other than
or
humans.
Claws.
Or
claws.
Right. Or that stinger bite.
Yeah, right.
You know? None of the, all of it. Yeah.
Venom.
Yes. Yeah, venom's not good.
Yeah, no, it's not.
Yeah, but you think if you could go far enough north, like the stuff that can kill you. They have flies, though, that I swear to God are the size of Cessna caravans.
I know.
I mean, they are.
It's true.
They're like. And they land on you, and then and you can see their eyes. That's the difference.
Yeah, I wouldn't like
and
that.
And the eyes look back at you, and you can tell the expression on their face.
Like, I'm going to get you.
Or like,
I'm going to eat you. I'm going to suck your blood, something.
You are a waste of my landing space, is kind of the way that they were looking at me.
That's the way you saw it?
Yeah.
Yeah, they've got mosquitoes. Could be troop carriers up there.
Yeah. You know?
Did you have a lot of mosquitoes when you're up there?
Flies, black flies.
Just flies.
Apparently, and they bite, too.
Oh. Yeah, I learned it. And what's interesting about those is that apparently there's like a spawning every 7 years when there's some other like caterpillars or something are spawning, and then the flies lay their larvae in the caterpillar spawning stuff, and then a year later they pop, and then so it's a caterpillar's flies, caterpillar's flies.
So you're in the fly year.
I was in the fly year. Yeah, I'd much rather be in the caterpillar.
I would too. I'd go up. Let me know when the caterpillar year is because I'm gonna take that trip.
Yeah. See, you like this kind of stuff though, because you have vast knowledge of these things, and so this would be right up your alley.
Yeah, I'm really an outdoorsman. Don't you worry about it. To me, it was like. I used to joke that camping to me was basic cable.
Yeah.
And that's my minimum. And now it's basic DirecTV because it's hard. Because sometimes you have to be a place where they haven't laid the cable lines. But
I know.
It's the same idea. Yeah.
Yeah, my mother used to say her idea of roughing it was going someplace where there's only three restaurants instead of five.
Yeah.
You know, just, but,
I'm with her.
I know what you mean. Yeah, the air mattress thing, I passed that stage of my life a long time ago. Yeah.
Not interested in that. Sleeping outside. Although, I accommodated my Traverse, so Chevy Traverse from Apple Chevrolet, in Tinley Park, by the way, 8585 West 159th Street.
Yeah.
They,
to be specific.
They, so if I had to spend the night in the car, because I did not make plans. I took off. And I just knew a couple places I wanted to go, but I did not make plans for those nights. I made them on the way
there. That's the same way I've gone, and those are great trips.
Yeah.
They really are.
Well, the fact that you survived it makes it, like, when you get back, and you're like, I didn't get killed.
Exactly.
Or, you know, or it wasn't like, because whenever I do that, I always think about that movie Deliverance. And I think, that didn't go well for those guys.
No.
Yeah.
Not at all.
All right. Tom, we're going to have to run. We did hear your forecast.
Welcome back.
Thank
and you too,
much.
Anna. Miss you
Thanks.
Guys.
Miss you
Appreciate
too, Tom.
It. Thanks, guys. All right. Happy Monday.
Thank you. Let's check in with Judy and find out what's coming up in a few minutes at the bottom of the hour news.
A DuPage teen facing a possible life sentence.
Violetta? Tickets, passes, if you will, to the Blackhawks convention, which is going to be held on the 27th through the 29th of this month of July.
It's coming up.
I know. July, it seems like it's almost over now. I don't know how it happened.
How did that happen?
I don't know. Book online at chicagoblackhawks.com.
July 9th. And then this is July 27th to the 29th.
It's going to be a good time.
We'll be there. No big deal.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, exactly. Kind of is a big deal.
It is a big deal.
Kind of a big deal. I don't know. You know what I mean?
We get a booth.
You get to rub shoulders with everybody, Blackhawks organization.
We get a whole stage, not just a booth.
Yeah.
They hook us up. Right. I wanted to start small so you guys can build it up.
Yeah.
Is that what, really? Is that why? No, that's not why you did that. That's not what, that meant?
Yes, yeah.
No, I don't think so. All right, Steve Stone is joining us, Chicago White Sox broadcaster, brought to you by Let Us Entertain You Restaurants.
Any food recommendations today?
Quite a bit, and it's just wonderful.
Wait, say that again. I'm sorry, we had a technical there. Operator error.
You got to try Ramen Sons, the one in the West Loop and the one right down here, and it sounds like an echo chamber.
Yes!
The pork belly little sandwich thing, I never know what they're called, but they're so good there.
The bao buns?
Especially with the fried chicken.
Yes! And it's got the spicy mayonnaise on it.
I just tried it, too, and I loved it.
Pretty good.
Yeah. And you know what? They got that sushi-san, too, which is all part of that whole deal, too. That's on Grand, too. I know.
Indeed.
Yeah, just to throw that in, if you're looking for Asian, and you're looking at Let Us Entertain You, their new Asian division, couldn't be better, and it's run by a genius.
Mm-hmm.
You know him?
You kind of know
personally?
Him, don't you?
A genius?
I paid for his wedding. That's all I know.
You should get endless amounts of ramen and sushi.
Yeah,
we did.
A lot of Japanese noodles coming your way.
There was a lot of Thai food at the end of the wedding because his family's from Thailand, so that's how that worked out. All right, can we talk about the All-Star announcements have been made. Jose Abreu, of course, makes it for the White Sox. And of course, I say of course, which is this was not a banner year for the White Sox in terms of sending people to the All Star game, but it's one of those moments. Did you want to go to the All Star? Do All Stars want to go to the All Star game, or would they rather have a couple of days to go play golf?
No, I knew that this was going to be probably it for me, so I was delighted to be picked number one, and then I got to start the game. So it was for me, it was a thrill of a lifetime. And at the time, I got to pitch three innings. As it turned out, that will never happen again. But being the starting pitcher was a thrill, and I had not even a debatable issue. I was going to go, and whether I started or not, I was going to go. It's quite an honor.
Yeah, which stadium did you get that in?
The only All-Star game ever played in Dodger Stadium was 1980, and that's the game that I started a game against James Rodney Richard.
Wow.
56,000 were in attendance that day, Steve. What was the whole experience like? Goosebumps for that?
Yeah, the one thing that I wanted to do and I kind of dreamed about was warming up in the bullpen and then hearing my name announced and starting, as it turned out, starting for the American League, Steve Stone, and that was a thrill.
I bet.
That is something. That was your Cy Young season, right?
That was a Cy Young season, and that whole year from the start of the season to the end of the season, it was one of those years where if you wrote down everything that could possibly happen and as well as it could happen, that's what did happen. It was just a magical year.
Steve, Jose Abreu is going to start in that game. First positional player for the White Sox organization to get a start in the Midsummer Classic since 93, I want to say, which was
96, Thomas.
Yes, 96, my mistake. 96, Frank Thomas. Jose Abreu is getting the recognition that he should, because he's been one of the more consistent players in all of baseball, really, since he entered 3 or 4 years ago.
Well, I think certainly for him, it's a thrill being voted in. And also, it came at a good time because Miguel Cabrera was not available. And, he probably could have gotten more votes. Normally, his numbers are staggering by the All-Star break, although not playing this year, the numbers were way down and he was injured most of the time. But for Jose, I think it's a wonderful thrill for him. It is an honor to be voted in by the fans. And, he's going in at this point at 259, 12-50 on the power numbers, 12 home runs, 50 driven in. Not a typical Jose year because the numbers are usually much better than that, but still, the honor of being voted in by the fans is something that he'll remember always.
Javi Baez, Wilson Contreras, John Lester for the Cubs. And there was some talk about home run derby participants. We haven't seen the names yet, but Javi Baez, some have mentioned that, and maybe even Jose Abreu. If you were a manager, Steve, would you be okay with guys going out there and competing in the home run derby? Because we've seen guys do really well and hit a bunch of homers, and then all of a sudden they fall off after the All-Star break.
You know, I think it's player's choice. I think that you see guys who do that, and then they say that it tampers with their swings. I don't know exactly. You're talking about an isolated one-day event, and if a guy is not mentally strong enough to get his swing back to where it was, then shame on the guy. If he wants to play in that, and he wants to swing and maybe take a chance on winning that, I would have no problem with that.
Yeah, because you never know. And that is such a fun event, though. I mean, for a TV event,
mm-hmm.
because, and I'm glad that they've made that into the big deal that they made it into, and mm-hmm. all of these, you know, every sport has to have that, right? You got a slam dunk, but
it's fun to watch.
Home run is really tons of fun to watch.
You can tell they're having fun doing it.
Well, especially in this day and age of baseball, because everybody's trying to hit home runs. They're talking about launch angle. Everybody's very important about, you know, launch angle. They're talking about exit velocity, and they don't even think about exit velocity in terms of hits. They think about exit velocity in terms of home runs. So the home run derby is right there. That's what people love to see, and give them a chance to see the best of the best.
Imagine Babe Ruth discussing velocity with Babe Ruth. Exit velocity. I mean, just how fast you get out of the stadium would be for him. Would have been exit velocity, it seems. I mean, it's you know, those guys, I mean, it wasn't really how technical when you played in the 70s. Mm-hmm. How technical was all of that? And those statistics were different because the technology to actually capture some of those things wasn't readily available. But was there, I mean, it was about mechanics. It wasn't really about outcome, right?
No, it was about outcome because that's how you got paid. But as far as the technical aspect of it, quantifying everything, it was much less than it is now. Obviously, now they have a statistic for everything. And, you know, it doesn't make it better or worse than it was. It just makes it different. And so they have a way to quantify a lot of things. But the one thing that you'll never find a computer being able to do, regardless of who programs it and how good the guys are and where the programs are coming from, Yale, Harvard, any of the other big schools, they won't be able to gauge the heart of the player. They won't be able to gauge if this guy is going to come through in a pennant race because some guys are never in a pennant race. You never really know. If you did that, you'd judge postseason player, any of those other things. There's a lot of guys that would never get a chance to really show what they could do. But I don't denigrate the statisticians now because they're able to come up with some things that we never could when I played. And now you're seeing the emphasis on the third time through the batting order. And there is a marked difference with a lot of pitchers the third time through. So the manager and the pitching coach will be more likely to get somebody up earlier these days than they would normally. And that's one of the reasons why the bullpen has really come into prominence over the last 5 to 8 years is that it's a bullpen game now. Starting pitchers don't go as long. They don't throw as many pitches. When they get to 100, they start to worry and get them out of there. But, you know, we quantified third time through the order. A lot of pitchers just fall apart.
Steve, we're closing in on the trade deadline, so it's trade rumor season, naturally. And, of course, mm-hmm. we heard Manny Machado. We've talked to you about him over the past couple months. Jose Abreu's name also has come up in discussions. Apparently the Astros may have some interest. I guess how active do you think the White Sox are going to be at the deadline? Because, you know, we've seen Jose Quintana dealt off, Chris Sale dealt off. Do you think Rick Hahn's going to be active this year as well?
Well, first of all, when you look at the haul that that Quintana and Sale brought, along with Adam Eaton, they brought a lot of players in return because they all had one thing in common, and that was long-term controllable contracts, very team-friendly contracts, and you're trading contracts. So as far as what Rick Hahn has to offer now, it's not going to be quite as lucrative coming back as the guys they did trade. But I think what Rick and Kenny both feel like is they're open for business. They're going to listen to everybody about every player. I don't believe there's one player on this team that they wouldn't trade. If you make the proper deal, they're going to move these guys. Now, the question is, what are you going to get in return? I believe that Jose Abreu probably falls into the category of worth more to the White Sox for what he does away from the actual field and his numbers, as far as helping the Latino players, being an example for them, being completely professional in everything that he does. I don't know that you can quantify that as far as getting a trade prospect back, but with the proper deal, let me tell you, these guys will trade just about anybody because they're in the building phase right now, and that's what they're looking to do.
Well, it's going to be an interesting couple of months in baseball, I think, in Chicago. No question about that. But
I think it'll be an interesting few weeks with the trade deadline coming up. This is an exciting time of year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and the All-Star break, I think if you're not in the All-Star game, people love that too, right? Because they get to relax, especially now with the new contract. They get almost a week off.
Absolutely. Well, it's not any more time off. The players got the more time off during the course of the season. Instead of 8 off days, they got 12. But this year, with the horrible weather early in the season, many of those off days are taken up by makeup games. So it was it was one of those, be careful what you wish for, you just might get it. Yeah. Well, they did wish for it, they actually got it, and now they have to pay for it.
Yeah,
the Cubs have a 5-game series coming up with the Cardinals because of all the weather issues. There's a four game set scheduled at Wrigley, and then they had to make a doubleheader on the Saturday. So 5 games against the Cardinals.
And the White Sox are taking on the Cardinals, right?
Yes, starting tomorrow on Wednesday.
And that is worth seeing, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, because if you want to go see, because if you hate the Cardinals, you hate the Cardinals. And you don't care, you know, even if you're a Cubs fan, this is a great opportunity to go to, in a lot of ways, a superior ballpark and better parking, no question about
yes,
it.
Yes, and tailgating.
And tailgating, and go and enjoy yourself. So don't wear your Cubby blue there. Although, I think, what is your thought on this? Because you've played all around this, Steve. You would know better than anybody. If you wore your Cubs gear to the White Sox parking lot for a Cardinals game.
Is that okay?
Yeah. Is that okay?
I'm of the mind that support baseball because that's how the game grows. We would love everybody to be White Sox fans. The reality of it is that you're not going to have everybody as White Sox fans. So be a fan of whatever it is you want to be. Just be a baseball fan. Come to games whenever you get a chance and whatever stadiums you go to see it. Because if you take, if you're a little bit older, you take your sons and daughters. In some cases, you take your grandsons and granddaughters to the park. You're going to perpetuate the game of baseball. The game is going to be healthier if we have more baseball fans. I honestly don't particularly care what you're a fan of. Just be a fan of the game because it's a beautiful game. It's a wonderful way to spend the summer, the early spring, the early fall. It's just great. It is a beautiful game. I've spent my life in it, so I'm very prejudiced about that. But come to the park, bring your kids, bring your friends, bring your family, and just support the game.
All right. There you go.
Well, thank you, Steve. Steve.
Yeah, thank you, Rich. Steve Stone. Appreciate it.
Have a good rest of the show.
Brought to you by Lettuce Serenting. Thank you, sir. All right.
Headed off to Ramen-san.
Try the ramen.
Yes. Well, it's not just ramen anymore.
It isn't.
No. Sushi-san.
And there's sushi-san, but the ramen-san is, there's a lot of stuff at the ramen-san if you just don't want the ramen.
Get the pork belly sandwiches.
You know what? At sushi-san, there's a pork belly thing. Mm. It's like just a pork belly on the, oh my,
It melts.
Oh, man.
I got the spicy miso ramen, which was fantastic.
Yeah. So you got the whole thing going right there.
Oh, I'm hungry.
Yeah, don't miss
out on
it. I
know, I am too.
All right, let's check in with Judy Pilak, find out what's coming up at the top of the hour.
Book sales are up in the U.S. Thanks, Trump.
Books. Oh, okay. Yeah, now I get it. All right. I do an interpretation of what Judy just said.
Listen, and I just want to tell you, John Williams did not like that tease, but I thought it worked.
Yeah, no, I think it did. Are you having a party back there in the newsroom? What's going on back there?
Maybe we're not invited. Mind your own business.
I hear Kim Gordon having a party. All right, let's check in with Violetta. What's going on in the traffic? Prince action for you.
I was wondering, is there some special Prince date, or is it just because? Just a because, I guess.
Yeah. It's a very important thing for our song genius, Brian Altimer.
Oh, we know that. We love hearing Prince anytime we can.
Yeah. It's just, every day, he has a Prince calendar, so every day of the year, there's something, you know, Prince related.
Sure.
First time Prince used hair gel.
Yeah.
You know, that's November 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is kind of interesting.
First time he got those sparkly purple pants with the bell bottoms.
Yep. That actually is April 20th.
First time performing in 6-inch platforms.
I don't know that date, but there's a lot of that.
Myself.
Right. But, and we also have First Time Married Apollonia.
Mm-hmm.
That was, I can't remember when that was.
The Apollonia marriage. Not off the top of my head.
Yeah. Yes, I don't.
But there are a lot of Prince, you know, anniversaries to keep in mind, and we try to do that.
Yes.
One of the things we offer.
All right, let's talk. Can we talk about some things here? Mm-hmm. Can we talk about a top five at five? Because, you know, that's where we are right now.
Let's do it.
That's the important thing.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show. Five. Let's go.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right, we will. There's only one way to handle this, people.
Let's go.
By heading to
number five.
Just moments away. From the president revealing a Supreme Court justice pick, Senator Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, he's the Chuck of Chuck and Nancy. Yes. I like when they say that. It's like you're inviting them over for dinner.
I know.
It's like, are Chuck and Nancy coming for dinner today?
It does sound that
way. And then the husband's like, oh, not Chuck and Nancy again. Oh,
we can never get rid of them. They drink too much.
Oh,
yeah, and I don't know. Are we
just
ready?
Had dinner with them. Anyway.
But it's different.
Here's the senator in the well of the Senate.
Considering the ample evidence that President Trump will only select a nominee who will undermine protection for Americans with pre-existing conditions, give greater weight to corporate interests than the interests of our citizens, no matter what precedent says, and vote to overturn Roe v. Wade, the next nominee has an obligation, a serious and solemn obligation, to share their personal views on these legal issues, no matter whom President Trump selects tonight.
Okay. All right. So dramatic.
It is.
It's, you know what? Listen, if you could win an election, this wouldn't be happening. That's exactly what I would like to say to him.
Right.
It's like, I'm sick and tired of you telling me, you know, how awful all of this is. How about coming up with candidates that can actually, that aren't nuts, that can win elections?
It's true. Roe v. Wade, of course, is a central issue many people will be looking at when the pick is made. And you've already heard from female senators like Collins and Murkowski saying that a candidate that would overturn Roe v. Wade would not be one they would support. They don't want an activist agenda. They want the court precedent to be the rule of law. But they also, you know, but this it's scare tactics, partly, is what you're hearing from the Republicans, who say, you know, look what Chuck and Nancy are doing. They're just trying to scare you. But there is some substance to what could happen here.
Yeah. Well, it's that. But this is when they say, well, elections have consequences. The next person who says that to me is going to get a strongly worded letter.
Strongly worded letter. Because that's how you settle things, Ro. I like that about you.
That is how I do it. All right.
So send Chuck and Nancy a little letter.
Mm-hmm. If they could just figure something out, they can't get. I mean, that's the problem. This should be the easiest election to win for Democrats in a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow they're going to blow it. I just feel it in my bones that there's a way that they are going to grasp defeat from the jaws of victory.
One of the things with this Supreme Court pick is that they are trying to find someone who could be confirmed and done before the midterm elections because of the uncertainty. But you might be right.
Tonight, I nominate Michael Cohen as a new Supreme Court nominee because then he won't narc on me.
Great idea. That could be one of the finals.
I'm sorry, Judge Judy. If Clarence Thomas leaves, I'll name you.
I'm telling you, I think it's going to be that lady from Indiana by way of Chicago.
Yeah. Amy Coney Barrett.
Yeah.
Watch for her.
So I'm just thinking. That is my... She's
your pick.
She's 150 to 1.
Mm.
She's plus 150 right now on the British pools.
Mm-hmm.
So, not even, I mean, there are people that are plus 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
So there's 10 to 1 picks out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what that... I some of those people I've never heard of in my life.
Right.
Well, Sylvester Stallone is plus 1,000 right now.
Is Judge Judy on the list or Judge Pirro?
All of them. Mm-hmm. What is? Can I ask a question? Do we have another? Is it more Chuck? People are driving, Brian. I don't want them to drive off the road.
Uh-oh. All right. Let's
play it anyway. I warn you, if you find yourself getting drowsy or disinterested, pull over.
U.S. senators and the American people should expect an affirmative statement of support for the personal liberties of all Americans from the next Supreme Court nominee. The American people deserve to know what kind of a justice President Trump's nominee would be. President Trump is the one who made the litmus test for his nominee, not us. The onus is on his nominee to show where he or she might stand.
And then you had the Senate Majority Leader, Mitch McConnell.
Mm-hmm. Making the case.
Everybody always warns that the earth is coming to an end, and it never does. I'm
said
putting
with that
my
enthusiasm.
Head back into my shell now.
Why are they so boring? Come on, man.
We won the election because apparently I know how to cut you with a knife and make it hurt real bad. He's got something going. I don't know how, you know, of all the senators, he's like the least dynamic guy, and there's a reason. Because he gets out there in front of the cameras. Mm-hmm. He's like one of those animals that plays dead. You know, like a possum or some other. There's you know, ones, there's like, I don't know, there's like an amoeba that flattens out, you know.
And that's how he survives.
Right, they survive by playing dead. That's what he does. He survives in the media by acting like he's unconscious. And then when they get behind a room.
Closed doors when no cameras are rolling.
Right. All right, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to grab the guy by the hair. You're going to cut his throat open. Then we're going to actually gut him right up in the middle. Then you're going to rip his privates off.
Oh, gosh. Oh, you did not say that.
Americans see beyond this far-left mongering, this kind of fear-mongering they've tried over and over again for 40 years. These far-left groups have been at these same scare tactics, Mr. President, for over 40 years.
Okay. Over 40 years.
Is he alive or not?
Yeah. This guy. And the next thing he's in the room. All right, here's what we're going to do.
He might be right there.
Oh, it's something to it, man. Because, I mean, he's got to be ruthless, right? I mean, there's no way he could be the head of that whole thing without having killed somebody. It's just not possible.
Oh, God.
And he's got that Elaine Chao who's like running after that. Elaine Chao, his wife, who gets she is like a permanent member of a cabinet because of him.
Right?
He's like, he goes to the president, whoever the president is. I mean, like, I think Elaine Chao was even in Obama's cabinet at some point. It's like, that's like that crazy. And he goes, all right, here's what we're going to do. You're going to make my wife a cabinet secretary. Otherwise, we're going to grab you by the hair. We're going to cut your neck. Then we're going to go right up and cut you. And goodbye, testicles. All right. She's now the secretary of everything. I don't know.
She can hold her own, though, too. Did you see when those protesters went after her?
She chased somebody down the street or something, didn't she?
Gave him a what's for. Yeah. They were coming after her.
Well, they're coming after her husband. She was like, you can't say that about my husband.
Well, about the immigration and the separation of families.
Well, try to explain that. And again, somehow Chuck and Nancy are going to find a way to lose it. There's literally crying children, right? Crying parents. And all the rest of the weirdness of this year, the tongue kissing with Vladimir Putin that's about to happen,
right?
And then somehow Chuck and Nancy are going to blow all of that. This is like House of Cards. This is like you're watching TV and you're like, hey, wait a second, he's going to push that girl in front of a train.
But look over here.
Yeah. All right. Anyway,
what number are we on now?
Oh, that's right.
Number four.
The president's attorney, Rudy Giuliani, told George Stephanopoulos yesterday that he's not concerned about Michael Cohen at all.
So you have no concerns at all about anything that Michael Cohen might tell the prosecutors?
As long as he tells the truth, we're home free.
But just to be clear, though, the joint defense agreement that Cohen had with the president's legal team, that is no longer operable?
I'm not really allowed to talk about that, but it wouldn't matter whether it was or it wasn't. We think we know everything we need to know at this point.
And the president's legal defense fund is no longer paying Michael Cohen's legal bills?
Again, that's not something I'm allowed to comment on, but it wouldn't matter one way or the other.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Wait, there's more. Hold on. There's more. This gets better. Giuliani is the one that's married to Bill Rancic. Giuliani is the president's attorney, and he says that there has not been a discussion about pardoning Michael Cohen.
Has the president or his team, anyone in his team, had any conversations with Michael Cohen or his attorneys about a possible pardon?
No, not at all. I've advised the president, which he understands, no discussion of pardons. You can't abridge your power to do it. That's something you can decide down the road one way or the other.
So you're not going to rule it out in the future?
Well, I don't think you should. I mean, that wouldn't be fair to the president, wouldn't be fair to Cohen, wouldn't be fair to future presidents. But the fact is there's no reason for a pardon right now or even to consider it. And quite honestly, it would just confuse everything.
It's a lot of telegraphing going back and forth because then you hear Michael Cohen's people reveal, well, the truth is not on your side, by the way, Rudy, so don't be begging for the truth. From the Michael Cohen camp.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a little interesting.
It is.
That's a nice way of putting it. If I were Giuliani, does Giuliani at any point ever go, God, when he wakes up in the morning, you know how like when you wake up after you've been drinking too heavily at night and you think, what did I do last night? Mm-hmm. Does Giuliani ever wake up in the middle of the day and from an hour ago think to himself, what did I just do last hour? Should I have said that? Because then Michael Cohen said, hey, listen, the truth is not on you or your client's, meaning the president, side.
Right.
Or a friend.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? That means that he's mad and he's willing to start telling people things if he hasn't already. And he knows things. And we all know, even if you love everything that Donald Trump has done so far, right? That's different than loving him as a person. There's very few people who love him as a person. His wife clearly does not love him as a person. People think there's something a little off about him and that... And if you asked even his most fervent supporters of his policies, and you say, do you think maybe he did something bad along the way? Oh yeah, right. I mean, everybody, yeah. And so they know that they know that this is kind of lurking out there. That there's this is you know they go they like to say it's a witch hunt to all the people that tell them it's not because it makes them mad. And these are they like to make the opposition mad. But in their heart of hearts, in the back of their minds, they know. They watch this. They see what's going on. And they're just hoping that he gets enough done before he gets caught. That is their hope. All right, we'll get to your 3, your 2, and 1. But first, Judy, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
A cracked windshield forces an emergency plane landing.
Oh, another one?
Everyone's okay.
All right. Oh, see, now, spoiler alert. Violetta?
Traffic is sponsored by Indeed and Travel Time.
And also by the Illinois Department of Transportation.
All righty.
There I am.
Then there's this amazing sports memorabilia, but just one problem. It's all fake. I know. How the FBI cracked a $20 million con. WGN-TV investigates tonight at 9. Looks like a fascinating story.
Yes, it does indeed. We are now checking ourselves in at...
Number 3.
Oh. Speaking of House of Cards.
You just did.
Robin Wright spoke out about Kevin Spacey's firing on Good Morning America this morning.
Sort of.
Yeah.
A little dodging there, but okay.
Yeah, all right, listen to this.
Has he tried to reach out or have you tried to reach out?
No, I haven't heard from him and I don't even know how to reach him.
Was there any kind of red flag or anything that would have made you think this was possible?
Kevin and I knew each other between action and cut and in between setups where we would giggle. I didn't know the man. I knew the incredible craftsman that he is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What? The incredible what?
Craftsman.
Oh, craftsman.
Craftsman, oh, yeah. Okay. Just great actor that he was, but
craftsman.
Only knew each other between cuts.
Mm-hmm. I never met him.
Who?
I know I had about 4 sex scenes with him, but I never met him.
Worked with him for how many seasons, too?
Yeah, I don't know.
But and apparently some of the allegations, of course, happened on the set with younger male members of the set in the crew, I guess I should say. So
he's got, and
that's the question.
That's what she's doing. She's like, I don't know. I don't know. I didn't see a thing.
What?
He's which one was Kevin Spacey? That's almost what I expected
that
her to
what
say.
I heard there.
Yeah. All right. Checking in at
number two.
Surprise! Sacha Baron Cohen is returning to television. Showtime has announced that the provocative comedian secretly filmed a 7-episode satirical comedy for the network set to premiere this month. The show, who's titled "Who Is America," will feature Baron Cohen as an undercover journalist, and viewers have yet to have seen his final look because he goes in disguise.
Mm-hmm.
He apparently got in to interview Dick Cheney.
Ruh-roh.
I hope you'll tune in next week for an interview with me.
Is it possible to sign my waterboard?
Sure. That's the first. That's the first time I've ever signed a waterboard.
I can't wait
water
for
bottle.
This. Oh my
he
God.
Apparently gets both Republicans and Democrats, you know, caught. Cheney, Palin.
Would you sign my waterboard?
Oh, geez. Howard Dean. Bernie. Bernie gets caught, too. Petraeus, Ted
the
Koppel.
Best.
He's a genius.
He is a genius. I mean, it's if you like the comedy, if you like making fun of all of this stuff, and I guess that's what we do here, because there's not if you don't laugh, you're going to cry. There is a guy, Ali G, was genius.
Oh, so genius.
And I know some of the stuff that, you know, he's done, some of the stuff is staged, mm-hmm. but it's clearly not staged when, you know, you're, when you get like, when Dick Cheney's signing your waterboard, you know that's what's going on there.
It's great.
So it's mm-hmm. you know it's a bad deal. That's a bad deal for Dick Cheney. Where's Dick Cheney? Where is Blackwater when you need them? When you're Dick Cheney. All right, and finally,
number one.
Jay Cutler has never ranked among the Bradings or the Mannings of the NFL, has he?
No.
No.
It's fair to say.
No. But could he be a Kardashian? I think that's the question. That's what Kristen Cavallari is wondering. Very Cavallari is the new show on the E! Oh, God.
I know. It's pretty incredible.
It is unbelievable. Jay Cutler has been what's the word I'm looking for here?
Controversial?
Mm-mm.
No.
Annoying?
Disinterested in
Whipped,
everything?
I think is the word I'm looking for to do this particular show here. Because this is ridiculous. He can never go back to the NFL. If somebody gets, there's a terrible flu outbreak in the NFL and they run out of quarterbacks and they will never be able to go back after he's done this, he can't do it. Because he's a reality. He's going to be the butt of all the jokes that he doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
That he sits around,
bossed around by his wife,
right? Bossed around. You know how this is going to go. Because these shows, the guys are always the villains in these shows.
Mm-hmm.
They are never the heroes or the
dopes, largely.
Yeah.
David Haw of the Tribune though says he's never performed better in prime time. I love that.
Which one do you think?
Right. It's pretty cold out.
This one, really?
Yeah, it's getting close.
What, you don't like that one?
You know what, though? I think I pick out 98% of your clothes.
No, you don't.
Huh?
No, you don't.
Do people know that I style you?
It's just easier if you're standing there.
Mm.
Oh, no. This is going to mess up my hair.
Ah, gosh. That's the worst.
Here, I need you to help me.
Oh, my God.
Cuddy, he's back.
Is that supposed to make us want to watch the show? That's terrible.
Oh, people, this is going to get ratings.
You think
Cutler's
so?
Cutler's already like, people are loving this.
Does he look
so
bored?
Awkward and fake.
Does he look bored and disinterested?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's because...
Remember
when they said, oh, it's the diabetes. That's why he looks...
You can't play at night,
looks
disinterested. Diabetes and
right.
Everything.
Yeah, like... What
everyone
is
just made excuses for him.
A quarter of the population has diabetes, and they're not disinterested. I just want to just point that out.
Can you just be nice when they come in?
I'm going to be neutral.
Okay, fine. Well, just don't be rude. No hi from you.
What?
No hi from you.
Like give him more buys than highs.
I know, but God, so awkward.
I felt pretty comfortable.
Oh, I know you did.
By the way, isn't reality television? It never really goes like that in real life between a real husband and wife. What are you doing?
Yeah, a little more argumentative.
Yeah, but say hello to them.
Smack the side of his arm. Get over there.
Yeah, not laughing. Like, oh, you're such an a-hole.
Where are all the beeps?
That's what mine
He would have
like.
To be interested right? to That's swear. The thing. That's the problem.
Well, I was thinking more of her.
He's not even interested enough to swear. He's like, whatever. Whatever. He's like a sloth. He's like watching a sloth. When he was a quarterback, I mean, he was athletically gifted. Unfairly criticized for things.
No question.
Yeah.
Oh, no question.
Oh, yeah. I mean, his skill.
But some of it was brought on.
But it was his attitude that created all the, that made everybody mad at him.
Yeah.
I know another guy like that. High performer, and his attitude is ruining him. Same thing. All right. Are you ready? Let's close this thing out.
The top five at five.
I may play a little bit more of that on the other side. Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here, 720 WGN. Keep listening next hour to win a family four-pack of passes to the 11th Annual Blackhawks Convention. The Hilton Chicago, July 27th through 29th. Get your convention passes and hotel guest rooms today. Book online, chicagoblackhawks.com.
Go Hawks.
On road trips, I love listening to random radio stations wherever I'm going to try to find, you know, another radio man, radio DJ.
You find them quite frequently.
Yeah, you find some interesting radio DJs on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Driving through a small town.
Yeah. Yes.
And they're promoting, like, you know, something about how to skin a deer.
There's that. I heard a guy in northern Michigan. I'm trying to think of where.
Roadkill recipes?
Yeah. It was a guy trying to explain how hot it was, mm-hmm. which I thought was kind of interesting.
Like in graphic terms?
Boy, it's awful hot up here today. You could cook a possum on your manifold.
Your what?
Manifold. Who reminds me of that? Paul Manifold.
And they can't. They're just trying to come up with mm-hmm. anything that makes any kind of sense. But up there, it was like, you know, they were cooking like walleye on there,
right?
You can cook a walleye in a manifold in about 5 seconds. That's how hot it is up here.
Speaking of walleye, we're giving a 4-pack away.
Oh. It's a quick release.
4-pack walleye.
The one guy, I was in a store in Boulder Junction, and there was a radio mm-hmm. station on that. I think it was the Greater Minocqua Boulder Junction mm-hmm. Metroplex.
Sure.
And the guy was interviewing this woman who was like talking about the 4th of July parade that was coming up.
Mm-hmm.
She said, tell me, what kind of float are we going to have in the 4th of July parade?
And the woman was like, oh, yeah, no, we don't have floats.
Sorry.
We got a drum and bugle corps. They're going to be here.
Yeah. They're going to be playing any Led Zeppelin. They're going to let the lead out.
Oh, gee.
Little Stairway to Heaven? Oh, I don't know what you're talking about, but I'm sure they'll be playing something fun. Maybe something kind of patriotic. You mean like Bon Jovi?
Ted Nugent?
It was really weird because mm-hmm. she said he had no interest. You could tell the guy had worked his way down the markets.
Yeah,
you know, he may have peaked.
Mm-hmm. He was a big radio DJ.
Yeah,
and
when Bon Jovi first hit
their peak,
right? Maybe in Madison or mm-hmm. Platteville, and mm-hmm. then he'd worked his way down to Wausau, and then finally to you know the Greater Minocqua Boulder Junction.
Right, got
to
keep moving. You know,
but he stays true to himself, and that's what we like about yes. cheesy radio guy.
He's still into the 80s.
He's still there.
Zumba pants on.
He still has
the hair. You know it. Whatever's left, it's still kind of feathered.
Well, it's feathered in the back, but right. there's nothing over the top.
Right. Right.
But he does have a headband, though.
It's like a dying mullet. Yeah.
Business in the front. Party in the back.
Actually, my business is out of business now.
That might be true. No more business in the front. It's all party.
Oh, man. Yeah. All right. Can I play more of this?
I think we need
to. From the reality show, the Very Cavallari reality show, which I
say Cavallari. Her name's even hard.
Well, I think because they want to be Cavallari because Vary and Cavallari.
Oh.
Because you imagine the pitch meeting where they're sitting around. Baby, darling, sweetheart, listen.
Mm-hmm.
J-Bird, Jay, my friend,
yeah.
J-ster. Let me explain something to you. We are going to name this after your wife because she's very famous on the E! Channel.
And you've had your turn, so it's time for her.
These are not people who watch the NFL channel. They've probably not even heard of you. And if they have heard of you, it's probably not good. So we're naming this after her. So, baby darling, sweetheart, don't be offended. This is show business, not show friends.
Show friends. You just got to get used to it. It's tough in Hollywood.
Yeah.
From a texter, best Cutler line last night, I'll shop at your store, but there will be days when no one else does.
Ooh.
Burn.
Ooh.
Wow, that hurt even Radio Man.
Radio Man thought that was on the line.
He woke up.
Oh, that's a cut right there. Oh.
Let's listen to some of this.
Why are you so dressed up?
To work? What's on tap for you today?
I've got a big 2:30 appointment.
Picking up boys from school.
Picking up the boys at school.
Uh-huh.
Want to be first in line.
Always.
Beat all the other moms there.
But, like, honestly, what do you do all day?
I like to keep myself pretty free, so if something does pop up, bounce right into it.
What do both of them do all day?
Baby, darling, sweetheart, let me tell you something. She is going to verbally emasculate you, and it's okay, because that will mean ratings.
Yes. Yes. That works on the E! Channel. Really does.
What do you do all day? And I would say, and who the blank are you?
Yeah.
You know what I do all day? I pay for this crap that we're doing here.
You know what I do all day? I look at the $122 million I made in my career.
Right, yeah. And just press refresh on my bank account statements. Right. Wow, look at that. Still there.
I would show her I would have on my phone, instead of a screensaver, a continuous loop of the hit that he took against the Texans here on a Monday night game.
Oh, right in the chest.
A Sunday night game from J.J. Watt.
You guys,
I would just show that. Oh, and it took him out for three games. I would show that over and over and over.
Well, so he was tough, but he's still disinterested. Really doesn't seem to like people, any people, even his wife. And he's always like, he just doesn't give a care about anything. That was a problem in football, and that's why it's going to be gold on television.
I mean, like 9 out of 10 guys, if they had that much money and could retire in the mid-30s, they'd be living the Jay Cutler life right now.
Sure, why not?
So I can't really blame him for that.
You want to take more pictures of my butt?
Go ahead.
Did see a picture where he's like cut. He's totally cut. Where he's standing, like they're standing around the kitchen island,
mm-hmm.
and he's got his shirt off.
Yeah, it's got to be. He was always had a beer belly,
but in this case, I don't know, he was sucking it in or whatever it was. But
how
he was like,
shoot, yeah, I can't hold it anymore.
I mean, he was like, it was. I mean, he, you know, he looked like him. It looked like they might have photoshopped somebody else's body onto his.
Call my agent. Can I put my shirt on yet?
Baby, darling, sweetheart, keep your shirt off. Seriously, Bubby, this is not going to work for you if we don't show off your pecs. I'm telling you, this is all women. This is all women, 1834, watching this. Maybe a little bit of 25, 39. But that's the top. That's the very top right there. You need to take your shirt off. You need to let her do the talking. You need to shut up and look stupid.
I think he's got that down. Well.
I don't know why the agent just turned into Donald Trump, but he did.
No, it's true. Maybe
first day
the
back.
Salesman,
I can't,
that's Donald Trump
I can't,
calling.
I can't
as
hold
his
on
agent.
To any of these things. All right, more. Here's more.
Okay. So you think that you're 100% done with football?
I mean, you can't say 100. Probably.
When will you know if you're 100%?
September.
Yeah, like the first football game.
Yeah.
You have to realize how many sacrifices I have had to make over eight football seasons that we've been together. So now you need to support what I have going on.
Yeah.
This is my football. This is my turn.
Oh, God.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Oh,
snap.
My God.
And just a quick question. Has Jay Cutler ever done anything 100%?
That's a good point.
He's like, I can't say 100.
Because I never have.
I'll give you like 75.
He's not saying 100% because this is exactly what he's waiting for. What happened last year when a team lost their starting quarterback and then he got to skip camp and he was like signed. He was named the starter.
Right.
He made $10 million. He's waiting to see if there's another injury to a starting. Jay Cutler's not going to be a backup to anybody.
Week two, some major guy can go down.
Then he might, sign $10 million. I'll play sure.
That has nobody behind him. Which is what they had in Miami.
Or team thinks they can compete and win some games.
And again, when she was sacrificing for those 8 years, I would send her the bank statements for those 8 years.
Sacrificing?
What was I was sacrificing.
I had to sit in the sweet box while we were drinking and eating and watching you play football at Soldier Field. You know how tough that was?
It was keeping her off social media? What was it doing? I mean, what is she?
I guess she would say she couldn't do the reality show thing, which is that's what launched her, right?
The Laguna, hills or something,
Laguna
right?
Beach. And she was the villain there, and so maybe she wanted this. She always did E, though. She was doing, like, fashion stuff for E. You've seen her on there with all the awards programs and stuff like that, but not a regular show. Not that I'm defending her. I think that was kind of a weird, ridiculous comment.
They are the poor man's Bill and Juliana, is what this is.
Poor man.
That's what they are. They're the poor man's...
They're not as You just don't like them.
They're the cheap roadshow version.
They're going to be the most hated couple on TV.
But that might make them a success. I'm going
to
agree
with Kevin.
People
love to hate. This is going to be a huge hit.
I already hate him.
All right,
well,
here we go.
True.
So what are you going to do today?
I got the boys at school. I got there 20 minutes early, like last week, and I was 10 cars back.
Well, have a good day.
You too, man.
Sounds exciting.
I'm pretty jacked up.
I mean, they're going to get...
She's a great actress, by the way. Have a good day.
Both of them seem terribly disinterested.
It's kind of Wayne's World, isn't it?
No. Well, she has that affected L.A. accent, even though she's lived in Nashville now for a long time.
And she's from here.
Whatever.
What do you do all day?
Isn't she from...
She's from here originally, but she moved over there. Yeah, she's from... Right, that's right.
Barrington.
I mean, can you guys really hate the Kardashians now? I mean, at least the Kardashians you call
The Kardashians are worse.
Yeah. No, they're like the not pinnacle. Worse than this.
But look, this show is attracting people like me who are obsessed with football and the NFL. Like, last night on Twitter is all these people who probably never watched anything even remotely close to this, and everyone's tweeting about Jay Cutler and the Cavallari show.
He was trending. I'm like, why is Jay Cutler trending? Like, oh.
Everyone's going to watch. Like, all the Bears beat reporters are going to be watching every episode and reporting on it. What did Jay say this week?
All of the agonizing details. But did you enjoy it, Kev? Did you watch it, or you just...
Yes, I watched most of it. Kind of pieced it together.
See, that's crazy. I didn't even watch it, and you watched it.
Yeah, this might be backfiring on them. They might be losing that female demo, and all of a sudden it's the NFL Network or something.
No, because that'll just add to it. But is she likable? Do women like her? Does anybody like her?
No, no one likes her.
I don't think that she's known for being likable. I think she's just... You know.
I think she's. Well, I mean, she came into the business being the villain, quote unquote. So,
well, who's gonna be? Who do you root for in this show?
The kids.
The kids.
I don't think they're putting the kids on. The kids are six, right? The oldest
they're
one
young.
Is six.
You're right.
And then there's one. I saw a picture in People Magazine. I thought I was looking of one kid who is like just turned two or something or one and a half that was walking. The kids are adorable, by the way. Mm. They are, but you know, you want adorable kids. You know, this is not what you're not going to watch. This, right? That's like some other channel.
Does anybody root for anyone in the Kardashians? Like, is there a
some people? You always relate to a sister. I'm a Courtney.
Yeah,
my sister's a Kimberly, and then my other friend, Caitlin, is a Chloe.
Okay.
Okay. I'm glad. Okay.
No, I mean,
Rocco
I get it.
Is Chris.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
you know, everyone has a character you can relate to.
Yeah. I don't think anybody's going to relate to either of these jokers.
No, I don't think so. They're not even, like, human.
No.
But it sounds like Jay Cutler is very entertaining because of the way he is reacting to her.
I'm not putting my shirt on again. I worked really hard for He's worked harder to cut his abs right now than he did when he was in the NFL. Because it's reality television. All right, what do we got going here? We got to find out. Judy, what's coming up at the top?
What caused a chopper to go down in Chicago?
Oh, what a story that was. Here's Violetta. Hello, Colin Show with Anna DeBlancis right here on 720 WGN. Architect of Chicagoland wants to heat up your backyard. Giving away, listen to this.
Okay.
We're giving away one lucky listener, a sizzling backyard makeover that includes a 14-foot diameter patio, wood-burning fire pit, and everything made with Belgard's Rin Laziano or Medino-style paving stones.
Sounds beautiful.
The Belgards. It's just like what I got. Basically, you're road decking yourself. This is you're going to get this. I got the fire pit. I got the Belgards. I got the whole thing. You want to live like me? This is the contest to be able to do that. I don't want to live like me, but you want my deck, I think. Wouldn't you agree?
You don't have to clean the deck as much as you do. I mean, that's optional.
That's your sanctuary. It really brings you down. It doesn't match your personality.
It makes me the pensive, thoughtful man that I am.
That you pretend, yeah.
Yes.
So alone time, you need it.
Well, it's a good, I choose to be alone on the deck because I have no friends.
But really, it's made for a party.
Right, it is made for a party. The only time I ever have a party there is when you people show up.
And then it's a reminder that you really don't want to do parties anymore. I can understand how that works.
What a year.
Yeah, but, 1 year, one party.
Now go, well, you know, we could do this again. We should probably, they've asked me to throw a party so we can show the deck off.
It's for work. We have to do it.
Violetta, get on that.
Cabbage rolls.
On it.
Go to WGNradio.com/contest and enter for your chance to be the envy of your neighborhood. That's WGNradio.com/contest.
Make a lot of friends with a deck like that.
You can, except everyone wants to have a party at your house.
We might even stop by for a party.
Sponsored by Architect of Chicagoland, Better Building by Design.
It is a beautiful outdoor
Never
space.
Never met an architect we couldn't party on
That's
this show.
That's true.
And it's an architect over there. Pull over. And then we walk out.
Yeah.
Walk up with a cooler. This is an architect, right? Let's go.
Uh-huh. And everyone who has an architect is ready to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like, get the platters out. Got friends over.
Yeah. I'd like to stop. I got the Billgard pavers over there.
Yeah. Put that under the pergola, baby.
You got a pergola?
Oh,
I'd like to sleep under a pergola because, quite honestly, I don't have a home to sleep in anyway. So
I don't really know what a pergola is, but I'm assuming it's like a canopy.
I'd be sleeping in the back seat of my Camaro.
Oh, gee.
Not a lot of room back there, I'm going to be honest with you.
What about when you have a date?
I actually took the back seat out of the Camaro so I could just stick my legs in the truck.
Let's not invite Cheesy Radio Guy to the party. It's just too much work.
It's a 1992 Camaro, so it's kind of a classic. It might have a little rust on it, but that's all right. Who doesn't?
Gets better with time.
Yeah.
Again, aged wine.
Yeah, well, a little too much wine, if you know what I mean. Sort of more of an aged Jack Daniels.
Dried up.
All right, so I don't know. Somehow, some way, I've lost the focus here. But the point is that we are going to do a party to do this in the next. And I think you're gonna have to plan it. And this is just a way to promote the fact that we're giving away one of these incredible architect decks to one of our listeners.
How great!
Well, let's give them away more so we can party.
Yeah, so go to WGNradio.com/contest, and then you can enter your chance to win this. It really are amazing.
They are. It changes your life to have a really cool, relaxing outdoor space, you know, that's kind of finished. It feels good.
Plus, sometimes you just got to get out of the house, you know?
I can't be in the house during the summer.
No.
I sit on the patio all night, right. Every single
you
night.
You have to. That is what I do. I sit outside because this is a limited time that we're able to do this.
Very few days. We enjoy them. I stand on my balcony. Just not very big, but I just stand there. I just sip my coffee in the morning.
I don't even sit. I have nowhere to sit.
That's where I am.
My daughter came over to last week when I was out of town.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, "Dad, are you using your upstairs deck?" And I'm like, "Well, I'm out of town."
Very leading question.
All right, I'll be there.
Okay, just making sure.
Yeah. Essentially, that's what it was.
That was the follow-up question.
And what day are you coming home?
Yeah, exactly right.
Why don't you just text me when you're close to the house?
Give me like a two-hour heads up.
Yeah. When you're approaching the... I actually have find my iPhone on Bronco.
Yeah. So that was the and then next thing you know, and then I'm calling her and she's like, everything's fine out at your house.
She's a responsible daughter.
It is a good that is a good place to if you want a son, because it's like I put like grass up there and it's like a whole thing to
lay out.
That's a new addition. We haven't even
seen
that.
No, we haven't. That's a good point, Violetta.
So bring
tall grasses. Tall grass. I got the nice decking.
Oh, cool.
You know, for the decking and then tall grass so that you're...
Along the edging?
Along the edge so that people can't watch you sunning up there.
So, yeah, we can also add that blow-up pool and then no one will see us.
No, I'm trying... We're trying to sell the architect work here.
I know, but
not
it's
the
versatile.
Walmart work.
It's versatile. You can add stuff to it.
Yeah, no blow-up pool. No blow-up pool.
Bring bags over and a keg.
No.
Kevin can be out there with his friends.
No, there's a fire pit.
Bring the boys over.
There's a grill.
Boys, roast so we could all hang out.
No.
Get a keg.
Book it. Hurry up.
Beautiful landscaping. This is like for adults, people.
We won't touch the landscaping.
It's for families.
Boys, keg stands tonight. Let's go. Rose house.
If you want, this is for like families to enjoy. You want to sit out there. You want to enjoy your outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
This is where the architect comes in. And this is where the party's going to come in. And then you can win one of these. That's what it's for.
A bunch of different kinds of families out there, okay?
You can watch the game from the deck.
Oh, God.
You can watch the game from the deck. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that was very nice.
Is it still like that? Can you still watch the game from the deck?
Yes.
Huge.
Yeah, you can still watch the game from the deck.
This is exciting.
So we're gonna. So we're told now. Mm-hmm. Jeff has been working on this.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, Jeff.
So we really have trained them well, haven't we, Anna?
I know, right?
Yeah, this is
very polite.
These kids. When you take the kids, their kids are so polite.
Very sincere about it too.
That's how we say hi to everyone too. Like you give us the look, like. Better say hi to this guy. I'm like, oh, hello. Very nice to meet
hello,
you.
Hello, sir.
This Welcome is the to time the Brocon Show when you thank podcast. Jeff.
My name is Kevin.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
I guess we're looking for a non-Sox guy. I think it's next Thursday.
All-Star
break. Perfect.
Oh, that's perfect.
Oh, actually,
Thursday they do play.
I don't know.
I'll double check.
I just realized. Oh, next Wednesday, and I can't do that because I'm having a colonoscopy today.
Oh, your God!
I swear to God,
you'll
I am.
You'll be cleared out and good to go. You can eat a bunch of cabbage rolls.
I'll already be on the drugs. That would be the thing. Hey, how you guys? The only problem with that is that if you tell the truth.
Uh-huh. Oh yeah,
that's a problem.
Great day. For
that's
us
my
to
fear.
Have the party.
Is going under laughing gas or like something and just start spewing my guts.
Oh, they give you laughing gas for that?
No. I'm saying like just in general, like an operation or something.
Oh. Yeah, no, I can't do that.
They do the Twilight.
That is such a dad problem. I can't do that. That night I'm having a colonoscopy.
You're gonna clear a schedule for like 2 days. You're not allowed to eat anything.
Yeah,
right?
You have a colonoscopy that day, that morning.
Yeah,
I feel like this is too much information. Not even just for us.
He's
on the
promoting
show.
Men's health via a lot of
but for all of us
after you turn 50 you gotta have one.
Wear brown.
I've already had
the brown
one.
Ribbon.
29.
Did you volunteer? That's not
it's just something. But you can never be too safe.
Yeah, you can't. I had one when I was in my 30s too.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little check. Something wasn't right.
Yeah, because sometimes you look down there and you're like, oh my God, what just happened?
What? No, we're done. Architect, let's get back to it. I'm so done with this.
Took a nasty turn there.
You guys are
really.
So
the point is, I will figure it out. But it's got to be the next 2 weeks, so we got to do it.
Okay.
I think we might have to do it. We may have to do it this week.
Okay.
Thursday
work for you?
Yeah,
because they're demanding that we do this to get the pictures right.
Thursday's perfect.
All right, Thursday works for you.
Get those cabbage rolls ready. Be a little
deck party.
All right,
deck party
this Thursday night. That's what we're doing. I'm gonna have to move whatever I got.
Yeah, off night for Cubs and Sox. Perfect.
Okay, so this Thursday night. All right, can you get Bronco on this?
Yeah, we could get some food over there.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah,
and then we'll get the thing going.
This is exciting.
You have the booze.
Yes.
Okay.
I think Bro's got enough booze at his house for a handful of
just
parties.
Just want to make sure that was still there, too, you know?
I don't think you have to worry
about
that.
Good times.
That's all going to be taken care of.
All well in advance of your colonoscopy.
Right, because that's a week to go before.
I mean, you guys are way too comfortable
before
about this.
Yeah.
Then, you almost seem excited, to be honest with you.
You almost sound like
Jay Cutler and the prep, Gary Cavallari.
The thing with the colonoscopy is that the prep is the bad part.
Yeah, it's a horrible. I've had one already, too, because there's a high incidence in my family.
Wait. Girls get these too?
Well, that's the thing. I got it a little bit early. You have a long ways to go, Violetta, but it's in my family.
It's not even that bad, Violetta.
Cuz you're out.
No, you don't know anything that's going on. It's actually it's an opportunity for me to put my phone down for like 2 hours. It's what it is. I mean that to me
it
is
takes
like
2 hours?
Well, you're out because they put you out and then you
but
come back. It's like 2 hours before you know anything.
The last thing I remember is the cool touch of the doctor and then I was out.
Yeah.
And Ro, remember, you don't have to drink it all.
What?
The stuff they give you to drink beforehand.
The cleanse.
Well, I do the cleanse. I do the whole thing because I don't want to do this twice.
No, but wait. The stuff you drink the night before.
Yeah.
Yeah, it clears you out.
I drank almost all of it and then I fessed up and said, well, there's a little bit left. She goes, oh, now as long as you drink at least half of it.
No, I don't think that's what they tell you to do.
They've really kind of.
I can't believe you guys have all experienced this.
Because you don't want to. You don't want them to go. The worst thing is you wake up and they go, you know what? There was still stuff in there, and we couldn't get the full test.
Yeah, but you know what? You know the point where that happens. And I was still drinking it, and I really didn't need to.
Let me just tell you something.
I like they complimented me.
You have not lived.
Crying.
You have not lived until you've taken this prep.
It's true.
Because it is like all of a sudden there's a moment. You know, if you have a dog, sometimes a dog will do it and they turn around, they look at it, they're scared. Right? Like if they have worms or something. Like they get like they.
You're
like,
nervous.
They,
you're not going to make it.
No, it's like they, no. They go out and then they do their business and it's not normal. And then they turn around, they look at it quickly, like, oh my god,
what happened?
Oh my god, no. What's back there? That's what happens when you take this prep.
Oh, it's true. It's so horrible.
It's like a garden hose.
It's like a laser beam going through your system.
It's like you've turned on a garden hose and you're like. You're not. It's like there's a moment where if you haven't the first time you do this, you're like, "Oh my god, I'm going to die from this."
Listen, guys, a lot of things don't make me uncomfortable, and I'm shocked at how open you are about this.
A lot of people talking about this in the open. It's good. It's promoting.
Here's the issue.
About health.
Colorectal cancer, totally treatable if caught early. So yes. If you get one of these,
ask our friend Edzo.
That's right. Edio would be the first one to stand up and say, "Hey,
yeah." And
check
they didn't even catch him that early because he was laying back on this, as he told us.
Well, he said he was due for one, but it was just due. So he wasn't that far off the schedule.
And he was like, but he was so glad that, you know, he was able to get this worked out because he had started having symptoms. And they were able to handle this, and now he's cancer-free, which is thank God, right? But you got to get ahead of this. And it's not bad at all. The prep is... the first time you do it, you just have to get used to the idea of what's going to happen.
Plus, you feel like you hit the reset button because they're like, all right, I'm fresh. Everything's out of me.
Feel so great.
It does.
Like when the whole thing's done. Everything that could possibly be in your system is out.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, it's the best.
I like that my colonoscopy doctor said, nice prep. And I was like, oh, God. Nice prep. I'm like, oh, that felt really weird. Like, I know.
You prepped real well,
I'm
didn't
like,
you?
What?
I really like your prep.
So I really want to hear anything.
Prep for
post
a couple more days.
Procedure. I really don't want anything.
Oh, you were clean. You should wish her in there.
God. You think radio guy's gotten a colonoscopy? He probably tells listeners all about it.
Oh, yeah. I got one day. Well, I had a little problem when one night I got pulled over and they took me in. But then I had to have a medical while I was in there, so I got one in the joint.
Oh, gee. It's not fun to talk about, but totally saves lives.
It's a little different in the joint. They don't give you the drugs. They just do it straight up there.
The prep comes after.
I didn't get any prep.
Yuck. The prep hits you.
At least they told me it was a colonoscopy.
Gross.
Anyway, the point is that for your health, you should do this. You should get this done. And I'm happily getting it done. It is such an easy procedure because you're out. You don't care. And they give you the happy drugs so that when you wake up, you're like, you feel like a million
euphoric.
Bucks.
You do. And you don't remember a thing. A darn thing, which not is good thing. Until your doctor says nice prep, and then you're like, whoa, you start visualizing.
The only problem with that is they do tell you for the first hour, you are very likely to tell people exactly what you think about them.
Oh, gosh, so be careful
so
who
make
drives
sure,
you.
Right, because you have to be driven to and from it because you're going to have this. So do not bring someone you know well.
Or someone you, have some baggage with and
Best not to have a family member with you, I've found.
Well, you're
a complete stranger.
Yes.
Your Uber driver. Maybe you could just have paid a little extra.
Exactly. Maybe Camille, my Uber driver, will be driving me. I don't know, Mr. Gunn. What? I don't understand. You know what? Where are you from? See, you don't want that either.
No.
Because then it's an international incident. Mm. No.
Could go bad.
You want somebody you know and you trust and you're not angry at because you don't want to say something.
Or you haven't lied to.
Yeah. Right. That you want somebody that...
Oh, that limits the list.
Yeah. It's a tough list. You really got... You know what? That would be it. That's a business. Like a colonoscopy minder. You know, a guy who he's your colonoscopy chaperone.
You can say whatever you want to me. I'll take it.
That's a good idea. I think you just came up with one.
Yeah.
And they help you with the cleanse before.
No, you don't want anybody around for that.
You have to pay a lot for that.
No, you want your house. You first of all, if you have a house and you only have one bathroom and four people in the house, the people have to stay at a hotel room for that because it's like you're going to be in there for the duration. But it's not uncomfortable. It's not like it's cramped.
No.
It's just happening.
Yeah, and just go through it.
It's not crampy. It's just like okay, I gotta go, and oh my god,
and again and again and again, and then you have to go again.
I went 10 minutes before I was at the doctor, and I'm like, well, I got one more of me, doc. Wait, hang on.
That's exactly what happened to me too. Yeah, hold on a second. And it's tough when you're in the cell and there's only one toilet in the cell.
All right, fella, stand back. I got one more in me.
Gee, you guys.
Radio guys spent a lot of time in the,
yeah,
you know, in and out of the criminal justice system.
Mm-hmm. Turns out they give colonoscopies.
Yeah. It was just a, you know, it was just a bad check. I mean, you know, I don't know why they were so mad at me. All right. Let's
got that out of our system.
Yes. Literally. Yes.
We got everything out.
Yeah. All right.
We have a couple more traffic trouble spots.
Judy, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
The so-called Final Four and the big announcement coming up.
Violetta. Concert with Anna the Blasters right here on 720 WGN.
People really liked our colonoscopy talk. A lot of texts, a lot of feedback on that, including you're exactly correct, Ro, about not being able to control what you say afterwards. I just had a colonoscopy a couple weeks ago. Afterwards, I asked my daughter if it ever occurred to her that my current boyfriend might be gay.
Oh, boy.
Wow, that's deep.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm going to tell you, it's, you got to be, well, you got to be careful. That's all I'm going to say.
You're fully exposed in all directions, really.
Yes.
Mentally.
Yeah.
Emotionally.
Well, the nice part basically is, you know, when you get a little older, you always worry about, like, when you're your age, you're in your, like, mid-20s, mm-hmm, like Violetta.
Get the filters safely in place.
Well, yeah.
Not
yeah, well,
usually,
not in her case. But,
typically.
Yeah, but you look at all these things that adults you go through throughout this arc of their life, whether it's medically or whatever, and at some point you just stop caring.
Mm-hmm.
Because you just, you know, the first time, you know, these things happen, you're like, okay,
well,
whatever.
You can't start worrying about it now.
Hey, don't worry about any of it. Because the reality is, you're going to end up, you know, getting a medical test, you know, like a colonoscopy, which you, when you stop and you think about it, oh my God, they couldn't imagine anything worse than something like that happening. But the doctors, they worked it out now. But, you know, back in the, you know, the caveman colonoscopy was not fun.
Jeez.
That was not good.
You know? Similar to Radio Man's experience.
Right, when Ork was, you know, trying to figure out what to do with the branch of the tree to figure out whether or not there was something bad going on up there. That's bad.
Things have come a long way since then, thankfully.
No, it's a very pleasant experience. And these people all know what they're doing.
Yeah. In, you're out, it's done.
Yeah. Done, and then they you know, and then you get to know it's either, you know, smooth sailing, or if they find a problem, then they can fix it now, which is,
are you nervous during the procedure? That
no, you have
out?
No idea what's going
on. I know, but like, do you think prep stuff happens during the procedure?
Who cares? It's their problem then, not mine, because you're out. You're like, you know, once they give you the drip, like they put the little needle in your, you know, mm-hmm, the IV thing in.
They ask a couple questions and woo.
Right, and they're like, and then it's like you're like, oh, here's what you remember. Like you're talking to the doctor, mm-hmm, and then you're in the after room, you know, like, you know, you're sitting there and you know, someone's talking to you going, "Hey, how'd you like it?" And you're like, "What? What did I like? What?"
I know, it's such a
and
weird
it's like
cloud.
It's over.
And is it your normal doctor that does it, or is
no,
there a colonoscopy
no,
expert?
No, in fact, I don't like to look at the people in the room really that well, because it's such an intimate thing, and you're just sort of like, oh, gosh, I just don't, you know, just let's get this over with.
Aren't you the guy on the radio? What? Oh, God. Oh, yeah. No, it's bad. You know, I mean, and it's fine. It's all good.
You got to do it.
Yeah.
At the right age.
So next Thursday, a week from Thursday, when I'm not here, that's
the countdown.
You know, yeah, then you can, that's what it'll be.
We'll know what's happening.
I could call you from after the colonoscopy and tell you all what I'm thinking.
Yes.
We should schedule a call. When you'll be like lucid enough that you can talk.
I think in the 5 o'clock hour, it would
perfect.
Be the moment where I could, like, you know, just.
Let's postpone the top
amazing.
5 at 5, and we'll do a top 5 at 5 with Ro.
You know what? It's like
never liked you guys.
Like, alcohol is one thing, and people go, oh, he's just drunk. You sound completely sober when you're saying whatever it is that you're saying.
Oh, so it hurts.
That's
even
the problem.
More, you
right.
know?
I think he really meant it this time. Yeah. It wasn't
really,
gin talking.
He really doesn't want us to party on his deck. He's never going to invite us again.
So, you know, I learned the hard way over the weekend in Michigan, upstate Michigan, mm-hmm, or did they call it upstate? I don't even know what they call it.
Upper Peninsula.
Well, no, it was
quite
south
there.
Of there. It was in the mainland
kind
of Michigan.
In-betweener.
But, Yeah, but it was, you know, it was up in the in serious farming country.
Mm-hmm.
What the new immigration rules have meant?
Oh, in terms of farm?
Yes.
The farm help?
Because I went to a restaurant there. I went to a Mexican restaurant in farming country of Michigan. And they, so I get there, I was, you know, driving, I was hungry, there was like this little roadside Mexican restaurant. Okay.
Yeah, try that.
Let's try that. That's going to be good, because, you know, a lot of the farm folks, you know, the farm hands and stuff, right, from Mexico is great.
Probably authentic. It's sort of roadside mom and pop, right?
And the food was absolutely great, but there were no Mexicans working in there.
Oh.
The one guy. And all they, so they had a guy, my waiter's name was Chad.
Oh.
Who came up to the table and he was like, "Hi, I'm Chad. I'm your waiter." And this is my first day because everybody had to leave.
Oh, really? He told you the story.
Everybody.
But I'm here, so I'll serve you. And I'm like, "Okay." So I said, "All right, Chad, I would like the enchiladas." "Okay. Can you tell me what those are?"
Did he pronounce things wrong, like fajitas or anything like that? Did he do a little of the?
There was that. That's exactly right.
What kind of tortilla do you want?
He didn't even quite get to that yet. I said, "Well, first, I would like a Modelo Negra." And he goes, "Okay. Now, what is that?
What's that?"
Oh man!
I said, "Well, that's a beer." Okay, I'm going to write it down now. Okay, it's Modelo. Modelo.
Mm-hmm.
Negra. Okay, N-E-G. This is the important part, sir. You're going to want to get this right before you go back into the kitchen. I haven't been in the kitchen, but trust me, when you go back there and you tell them what it is I've ordered, you're going to want to make sure you get this part right.
Yes.
It's N-E-G-R-A.
Mm-hmm. A is an apple.
Okay, sir, thank you. I'm so sorry. I'll be right back. So he comes back. Now, the funny thing is that he looked like he, like when he walked up to the, when Chad walked up to the table, I thought Chad might have been, you know, Mexican.
Oh.
But he wasn't.
Just a big tan.
He's a very tan dude. Right? And I, and then I'm thinking to myself, how did Chad get this job? He did not know what an enchilada was.
No.
He did not understand anything that was happening.
Didn't pass the smell test, really. You're like, wait a minute. How did you land here?
And this is, by the way, this is the worst ICE, like, undercover agent of all times. I could not figure this out at all. I'm like, Chad, this is not making sense. All right, could we get some chips and salsa?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You knew what that was.
Yes.
Was
we can do that. What is the salsa?
Oh, no.
I go, really? That's like the red stuff that, you know, that comes. Okay, I'm sorry. It's my first day. I'll be right back.
Oh, gee.
And then he would. And so we were sitting like right next to the kitchen, and then the door would swing closed. What's the salsa?
Oh, gee.
It was
like unbelievable. And I'm like, well, where? It's like they hired the guy because they were like, okay, he looks like he's Mexican. Let's just hire him because everybody else is gone.
Did he give you the story that people left?
No, I don't think I wanted to discuss that.
He didn't go into that. No. Okay, he just said they left.
But it was like the kind of thing. It was like, okay, I don't understand. So I did. I ordered the fajitas and enchiladas.
I love enchiladas.
We were, you know, there's a group of people.
Mm-hmm. Were they saucy enchiladas?
Red or green sauce?
I wanted the salsa verde, but I wasn't going to go there with him.
Bring me enchiladas.
Victor.
Yes, I want to go.
You got to go green or red with him.
Yeah, I did. I go, I'll do the green sauce. Okay, I can do that. And there were like two tubs of the sauce, you know, that were like right there. And he's like looking at him. I go, the one on the right, the green one.
Green one.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, my God.
But when the food came out, it was awesome.
Oh, it was great.
See.
It was great because the guy back there knew what he was doing.
Mm.
But Chad did not know what he was doing.
Chad. How many times do you go to an authentic Mexican restaurant and you meet a Chad? Very unusual.
This is Chad, and that's Brad over there.
Yeah.
Making your drinks.
Josh.
Kevin.
And Kyle is right. And Kevin, yes, that's true. Uh-huh. That's right, Kevin Powell. But Kyle, I am Kyle. I'll be your waiter.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They all look like they're back home from college from their fraternity.
Trying to explain to Chad what the enchilada was. And there was one woman who was there who spoke Spanish.
Oh.
Who he would go to, and she would look at him, and she was like, she would just like shrug her shoulders. She was like the mama pod, mm-hmm. like Violetta's mom. Yeah. There was like a husband and wife team that were running this restaurant, and this woman was working, you know, her butt off.
Yeah,
she's like, figure it out, kid.
Did the husband try to pour tequila down your mouth, similar to Bronco at the?
And it was like it was basically like the Mexican version of Little Bucharest, but in the middle of nowhere in Michigan. And it was a mom and pop kind of thing, but mm-hmm. they had to hire all the gringo and gringa that they could find to be there because all of their compatriots were gone. Missing, gone.
Did you catch her at all looking at Chad, sort of shaking her head, like, we're not so sure about this hire?
I think there was just a moment where they were like, there's nothing we can do. So I was like, okay, we want 2 chicken, 1 cheese.
Oh, no.
Oh, that was too. I don't understand. Why would there be 2 chickens?
2 whole chickens?
I'm surprised you didn't get 3 separate orders.
Oh, my God.
That's the worst when you get something altered and it comes out like 6 of them. I'm like,
yeah.
What were you thinking?
Yeah. No, poor Chad. I was imagining when I drove away that they were like beating Chad mercilessly in the back of.
Oh, stop.
Poor Chad.
All right.
He's trying.
Chad in the Mexican restaurant. I would like to tell you right now that if you are caller number 19 at 312-981-7200, you can rip us off for a family 4-pack of passes to the 11th annual Blackhawks Convention at the Hilton, July 27th through the 29th. Get your convention passes and hotel guest rooms today. Book online at chicagoblackhawks.com. Caller number 19, 312-981-7200. All right. What's going on in the newsroom? Who do I have in the newsroom? I don't even know who I have in the newsroom. Oh, it's Andrea. Okay.
Happy Monday.
Oh, happy Monday to you.
Oh, we're waiting for the big announcement. President Trump set to speak at 8 o'clock. You'll hear it live right here on 720 WGN.
All right. And is Violetta still in the traffic booth?
That's me. Unless you want it to be Chad.
See, Chad would have been more perfect to be like doing the traffic. Chad almost was like Ryan Lochte's best friend. Salsa Verde.
Is that the green one?
Salsa Verde. Hey, you know what? I have actually been to Salsa Verde. There are some tasty waves.
And then there's this. A lot of young people out there doing the right thing, doing incredible things, and the Steve Cochran Show wants you to know about them. Meet the Cochran Show Kid of the Week tomorrow at 6:40.
There you go.
Chad's the feature this week for his work at the Mexican restaurant.
Ha!
He did well.
What is
salsa?
Guaco what?
A mole. It was a...
God, I want Mexican food now.
I know. Why does that make me hungry?
Something about Chad makes me want a tortilla.
Chad did not know what he was doing. It was a restaurant, and a Mexican restaurant that had no Mexicans working in it except one guy in the kitchen and his wife, who was trying to figure the whole thing out.
Oh.
Because everybody else was gone. So it was just a bunch of people who were trying to figure out who was going to be apparently hiring somebody new every night to go work the front, who did not know anything about Mexican food or Mexican beer or Mexican anything.
As long as it tastes good when it gets there.
It did taste very good. They were working very hard.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be like somebody who did not know what a cabbage roll was working at Little Bucharest.
Oh, right. Gosh. That couldn't be.
Yeah. My dad has explain to a lot of people a lot of different things. How do you not know? I'm like, why would anyone know that? No one can even understand you. I just give the people my phone number. I'm like, just text me if you have a question. Don't even talk to them.
I would say before you work in a restaurant, you should understand what the food is in the restaurant.
Yeah,
I would
definitely.
Say that kind of helps.
Glance at the menu.
Yeah, because and then if you have any questions to ask, because it's quite honestly, you know.
And at least he was admitting he didn't know. Like, that's the worst when you have a server who you can tell doesn't know, and you're like, are you just saying yes, and who knows what you're going to bring me?
Are you guessing
right,
here?
Like, I'd rather you ask, you know, what salt
I do know is. What a taco is. Would you like a taco? No, I'd like the enchiladas. Now, what are those again? They're on your menu. Oh, man.
Let's get all Chad.
Yeah,
Chad. Chad probably thought the tacos were only offered on Tuesdays.
I think what happened was that Chad's dad told him he had to go to work.
He's like, you better find a job.
You better find a job right now.
Gosh, Dad, I don't want to work.
And so so Chad went to the closest place he knew to go. He doesn't like Mexican food because it's too spicy. But the only job that he could get. And then so he ends up selling Mexican food in a place he doesn't know anything about the cuisine.
Well, it does say something about Chad that he started his summer job July 4th week. I mean, usually college lets out, what, May, June?
Yeah.
Usually start your first gig then.
Yeah, I think Chad might have worked a few jobs before this one.
Well, the pool's closing down soon, so he's definitely a lifeguard. That's probably where he got the tan.
Yeah, something. Didn't make a ton of sense.
No, it doesn't add up.
Chad, the Mexican waiter, did not make any sense. You don't get that in Chicago.
No.
All right. Let us, you know what, Patty and Andrea can explain exactly what's coming up on the program, coming up right after.